much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
God damn it! We lost! We fucking super lost, man! Tell them, McCluskey. Tell them what time it is.
I don't believe you people.
What do you mean, you people?
What do you mean, you people?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
We are patriots. We are Bravehearts. We need to ride into that battlefield and chop their heads off.
They used to say that kind of thing about Jesus, too.
I'm Alana. I'm 6, and I'm a beauty queen.
Brothers must be crazy if they think they're going to be me, honey boo-boo child.
I'm super solid because I do pageants.
I want to win money.
A dollar makes me holler, honey boo-boo.
And now,
I listened to rock and roll music once, but I stopped before I started worshiping the devil.
Our feature presentation.
Hello, test 1, 2, test yes. 1, 2.
Sound how we sounding?
Good. We sound good.
Yeah. We're live?
Yep.
Testing out some new equipment here. Hey, party people. Welcome into another Kevin and Bean Show. Today is Thursday. How you doing, Lisa?
I'm good. How are you?
You know.
It goes.
Yeah. fine.
Okay.
We may be asking you to send your cards and letters soon to the monkey. Apparently, Kevin's still sick. This one's hanging on. This one's taking a while to recover from.
Like, he's really sick.
It sounds like
high
it, yeah.
Fever sick. That's not good.
Yeah, exactly. So we'll keep you posted, but he will be back soon, we hope. In the meantime, we move on. Got a huge Kevin and Bean Show today. We'll tell you about first this story, and I thought this was interesting. You know, I don't know exactly when this goes into effect, but we heard a few months ago that laws were starting to be passed requiring the use of condoms in adult movies.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
How do you feel about that, by the way? How do you feel about the government saying you have to use condoms in your adult movies? Hey, private business.
Well, I think it's kind of like when OSHA comes into a business and says you need to change this and this and this to make it safe. It just, but the truth of it is that they'll just go underground because people don't want to see that in their movies.
That apparently is the case. I mean, that's what every study so far has shown. And I kind of thought the same thing. At first, I thought, hey, that's overreaching. And then I thought, well, is that really any different than making a guy wear a harness who works on a roof? You know,
right.
I mean, like you said, it's for the, you know, for the safety and health of the people who are in that line of work.
And, you know, the truth is, if we did it long enough, people would get used to it. It's like seatbelts. You know, some people didn't want to wear those, but you get used to it.
Yeah, and now it's unthinkable for somebody to get into a car without putting on a seatbelt for the vast majority of people. But you're right. I mean, going underground or just moving out of the area, I think Simi Valley is one of the places, for instance, where, you know, the bulk of the porn filming is done. And a lot of people said, hey, it's just going to move out of Simi Valley. It's going to move to other places in, you know, Los Angeles County, or it's going to move to Las Vegas. I mean, there's a lot of other places they could take the industry.
You know what Simi Valley said? Good. That's what we are thinking is going to happen if we pass this law. It just moves it out of here.
And by the way, what's that about with what's going on with the economy? If I'm in Simi Valley and I have working film crews in my city, I'm so grateful for the business being there. Look, I can understand why people don't want film crews of any kind on their street or blocking intersections or things like that, filming outdoors. I mean, that's a pain in the ass. For people who live near areas that get filmed a lot, they know that it's a pain in the ass to have a film crew there. But porn, for the vast majority of it, is done in houses or done in, you know, they've got warehouses or something like that. They've converted into studios for filming and everything. How does that impact anybody in the community? For people in Simi Valley to say, I don't want that filmed here, how hypocritical. I guarantee there's as much porn being bought and watched in Simi Valley as there is anyplace else.
Well, absolutely. You know who lives in Simi Valley? A lot of LAPD.
Well, yeah.
But it does consider itself like a very nice family community.
Yeah, and it can be a nice family community and still enjoy a legal product. And who's in a position these days to say, hey, I don't want your business here? You know what I mean?
No, I hear you.
Let's face it, we've always been hypocritical when it comes to sex things. We always, you know, nobody wants to admit it. Well, the reason I bring all this up, it sounds like old news so far, is I think this is fantastic. Channel 9 is reporting that under this new law that has been passed in Simi Valley requiring condoms to be used in porn films, producers have to submit unedited copies of their adult films to the Simi Valley Police Department for review.
Shut up.
Ladies and gentlemen, is there somebody, or I imagine everybody at the Simi Valley Police Department, who now says, yeah, I got to put in a couple of extra hours today and just check up on this new condom law, make sure it's working out for everybody.
Oh, I love it so much.
What about that? Doesn't that make it sound like if this law works as intended? I mean, the whole purpose of sending it to the police department for review is that law enforcement officials are going to be spending time watching their porn
yep.
to make sure that condoms are being in use.
Does Officer of the Month get to do it? Is that how it works?
that is. I guess if you get a gold star, maybe this is one of the benefits of that in addition to that close-up parking space.
Oh, they're going to have so many people applying to be cops.
So many people. This may be the best time ever to be a law enforcement officer in Simi Valley.
Every city's going to pass this law.
And I mean, at first I thought, well, how are they going to enforce that? And then I thought maybe there'll be spot checks, you know, mm-hmm. just like when the health inspector stops by a restaurant. Maybe they'll just have the police will show up just to make sure that it's being done. But, you know, that's not going to catch every movie. This way, they literally have every movie that's being made in Simi Valley is being sent to them.
You know, they can make extra money by creating a library and checking it out after they make sure it's okay.
Yeah, exactly. And why unedited, by the way? That's another thing that struck me as odd.
Because they think it's funny.
Because they want to get a blooper reel going for the
exactly.
Christmas party.
You know what? Maybe it is that they're afraid they'll make a second movie without it.
Oh, that they'll send a condom version over,
right.
But then they'll be, oh, that's interesting.
Maybe.
Well, I just know that somebody at the Simi Valley Police Department is looking forward to going to work a little bit more today
yes.
than he was yesterday.
Have a nice day, honey. Yes, I will.
Yes, I will. Good times. All right, let's talk about today's brand new Kevin and Bean show.
Today, I would have to consider you the luckiest woman on earth.
Well, thank you very much. We do have a hell of a show today. The great William Shatner joins us on the program
Woo!
Today. I love Bill so much. Well, I've said before, he's one of my five favorite celebrities in the world.
I saw his one-man show, and I just can't believe that at his age, he gets up on stage with all that energy and just
yep.
delivers.
No, it's intimidating. I mean, we've known him for many, many years, and I'm exhausted every time he leaves just because he's in his 80s, and he's got so much going on
yeah.
and so much energy and passion, and you should talk to him about the show and tell him how much you enjoyed it, Lisa.
I absolutely will.
Sure, that would mean a lot for him. But he's got his annual Hollywood Horse Show coming up this weekend for charity. What else we got on the program today? Well, we got tickets in the pit for you for the 20th annual K-Rock Weenie Roast E-Fiesta. That's on the way. Funny man, Jay Moore is going to be here today.
Jay Moore!
Jay Moore! Talk about a guy with some energy. Danny Putty from TV's Community is going to be joining us. It is Community Thursday here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Abed is one of the greatest characters on television. He is practically half man, half robot. It's unbelievable what a great actor Danny Putty is. Dr. Drew is going to be joining us today, and Anze Kopitar from your Los Angeles Kings beer mug is going to be on the program today. How about that?
Yeah.
As they prepare to move on for round two of the Stanley Cup playoffs against St. Louis. He should be great to talk to him because I'd be willing to bet that although all athletes say we got this, they had to be pretty damn nervous about skating against Vancouver in round one.
Well, it looks like Vancouver didn't even faze them.
Yes, I mean, that's how it looks now. But, I mean, before the series began, is there anybody who predicted the Kings in five?
You know, no.
Anyone who has watched both of these teams. But, I mean, that's the beautiful thing about the, you know, you get into the playoffs, now you got a little bit of momentum going, and I'm sure they don't have any doubt about St. Louis. So, very, very exciting times. This is not a given that the Kings make the playoffs, so this is good times. We're going to be excited to talk to Mr. Kopitar on the program today. And we got a brand new internet roundup coming up for you today with a lot of great new videos, all of that, and Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat coming up next. Right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Tonight.
Hey, party people. Welcome into the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Thursday. We're going to meet Cat Daddy coming up after the top.
Wow.
Cat Daddy.
That's what?
Exactly. Well, we're going to find out together, Ralph. Cat Daddy is
like
the topic.
I don't like
up
it.
On the way. First, though, time for the Showbiz Beat. Ralph is here with our first look at what's happening in Hollywood. What's
Before I get the showbiz news, I do have tickets to give away to our special advanced screening of Marvel's The Avengers.
Yeah!
One of the most anticipated movies of the year. It's coming out on May 4th in theaters everywhere, but you'll be able to see it on May 1st at the AMC Century City 15. Before anybody else, I'll be giving away tickets all week long to our special advanced screening. And all day long, every hour, I'll be giving away tickets. Here's today's trivia question, or this hour's trivia question. If you know the answer, call 1-800-520-1067. First person to get through with the correct answer, boom, gets a pair of tickets to Marvel's The Avengers, our advanced screening. Of course, some of the superheroes in The Avengers are better known than others to you regular mortals. You know your Captain America, your Hulk, your Iron Man. But also some of the cool Avengers that are being exposed, I guess, to a larger audience in the show are like Black Widow, who was in Iron Man 2, and Hawkeye, the deadliest shot in all of superhero-dom.
Obviously.
Need to know Hawkeye's secret identity. 1-800-520-1067. Hawkeye's real name.
During the Korean War.
1-800, that's...
Benjamin Pierce, right. Oh, I gave it away, sorry.
That's MASH. You're thinking about MASH. That's a different
Well, we're
Hawkeye.
Talking about Hawkeye, right?
Yeah. Just talking about Hawkeye. Hate you people. Don't know comic books. Let's talk showbiz news. The CW's got some pains, got some hurts going on there in that network.
They still exist? The CW, that's still a
yes,
thing?
Yes, that's still a okay. thing. And L.A. Complex, their brand new sexy soap opera, has a dubious achievement that they're celebrating today. It debuted on Tuesday night. It is the lowest rated in-season broadcast drama series debut of all time.
Up on the shows, and I have never heard of this.
Now, I heard about LA Complex. I was actually even interested in watching it because it's about kids, you know, in Los Angeles trying to make it in
like
show
a
business.
New Melrose Place.
Yeah, kind of. And I was going to check it out. I didn't get a chance to check it out, and apparently no one else did either.
And will we be able to check it out?
I don't know.
How low are the ratings, Rob?
It had a 0.3 rating.
Well,
that's
barely worth keeping the transmitter on for.
According to Nielsen, 646,000 people watched across the country.
Was it up against like ginormous shows?
Tuesday night. I don't know what's on Tuesday night.
I don't know.
New Girl.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know what the scheduling is, but
wow.
600,000 people nationwide is all that watch that show.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, I read an article this week that talked about how broadcast television in general, the ratings are lower than they've ever been by far, and that you barely have to have a blip to stay on the air anymore just because they can't find anything that people are willing to watch. Yeah. I mean, shows that have a 1 rating are staying on the air now. Fringe is a great example of a show that the ratings are terrible, but they like it, so they keep it on, even though, you know, 2 years ago, there's no way it would still be on.
Well, the DVR numbers on Fringe are exceptional,
that helps that show
and
a lot.
That's
yeah.
the thing, is that there's new data coming in. It's not just number of eyes who are turned into a TV set at any given day or time, because you've got DVRs, you've got people watching on the internet, they're watching episodes from Hulu and on demand,
sure.
on their video and cable systems. So there's a lot of ways you can get your television now, and it's not just the Nielsen numbers anymore.
Well, people are choosing not to get the LA Complex show, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, I don't know where they're getting that outside of CW. I don't think they're finding it any place else. So. May not be around for a while. Sorry, LA Complex.
Don't get invested.
People Magazine has named Beyoncé Knowles the world's most beautiful woman. Nope.
Do we always have to name someone?
Yeah, well, People does. They've got the sexiest man alive issue, right. And now they've got the most beautiful woman in the world issue.
Well, this gives them a chance to get all warm and fuzzy because she's a new mom, and their readers will like that.
Here's what she says about winning the award. She feels more beautiful than ever since giving birth because the word love means something completely different now.
No.
She's never had such purpose on this earth. She may be the most beautiful woman on the world, People Magazine says, but Beyonce says her baby girl is the cutest thing on the world.
No, that's not true.
Stop it. Stop it. You only had a child. You know all the people who've ever lived on the planet before you? They all had children, too. That's why we're all here, because people kept having children.
You know how gaga people get over their little girls, though, right?
Yeah, keep it in your house. I don't go around with the photos of my kid and sending out letters and postcards and magazines about my child. I love my child. I think she's the cutest thing in the world. I keep that fact to myself.
Because you're aware that everybody else feels the same way about their kids.
Yes, because I'm a person who lives on this planet.
Right.
Where are these people from? Where do these people live?
They are special and different. They love in ways you could never love.
Oh, dear God, with their diamond earrings with each other's initials and their only the best baby in the world mentality. Celebrities suck so hard. God, what's wrong with them?
I think they have a certain number of people who treat them that way, who say, we believe you are better than us, and we want to hear every tiny detail of your life and
okay.
make it significant.
Fine.
So they buy into that.
But don't they see anything else in the rest of the world? Can't they look around the rest of the world? Can't they look past the dozen people surrounding them and say, you know what, this is an artificial environment, because look at that out there. Look at that world.
Yeah, I don't know what to tell you, Ralph.
The bricks. They need a brick.
Right inside their head. Bricks are the answer. Beyonce is very pretty.
She is.
Yeah.
I'm just saying a brick is what she needs.
Well, I don't know that that's...
Just one brick.
I don't know that we would have hurt anybody.
But. Ladies who were nominated who didn't win, according to People magazine, Charlize Theron. So already, this magazine is total BS. Miranda Lambert. Well, come on. Seriously?
Yeah, that's...
She's a fire plug.
That's more of she's passable looking, but she has an interesting story that we'd like to tell her.
She's a fire plug with a wig. Sofia Vergara didn't make the grade, didn't win. And Kate Middleton, shut up, Kate Middleton. Doesn't even belong in this sentence, let alone in that issue. She's not hot.
She's pretty hot.
She's not
pretty
hot.
You don't think she's hot?
No.
Really?
She's fine. Very hot. She's fine for someone who married a prince.
That's a very rare, small category.
She's fine. For the British royal family, she's pretty. Take her outside in the world? No. I go to the Glendale Galleria and pick a dozen girls who are hotter than Kate Middleton. Let's go right now. Right now, Glendale Galleria. Everybody get on the bus. I'm very angry today. My back is out, and it's going to be a lot of anger. So everybody get ready.
All right.
There's a storm coming. Chris on line one, I believe, has the answer to my trivia question about the Avengers. I wanted to know Hawkeye's secret identity. Chris, you have my answer?
I do. It's Clint Barton.
Clint Barton is correct. One of the great names in comic book history. Clint Barton.
Ralph, you're my hero.
Thank you, Chris. Clint Barton. That's a man's name. Clint Barton.
I love that there's a superhero whose real name is Clint. I didn't know that.
Clint Barton. Thanks, Chris. Hold on. We're going to give you the details. You're going to see the Avengers before anybody else, okay?
Yeah.
All right. Hold on, sir. Thank you for calling in. See, Chris made me feel better.
Very happy guy.
It's not that Jay-Z Beyonce BS. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Channing Tatum. He's a good-looking dude, that Channing Tatum.
Yes, he is.
We had him here in the studio for
and he was really
21 Jump Street. He's really good-looking.
And he didn't have those cold, dead eyes like sometimes he does on the screen.
No, he was a charming, funny, warm fellow, and I had a bit of a man crush when he was in here.
He won me over.
Yeah, me too. 32 years old today. Jordana Brewster.
Oh.
Pretty attractive in her own right. 32 years old. Speaking of attractive, where's she on the People magazine list? This next young lady, Stana Katic from Castle.
Wow. Yeah.
Talking about most beautiful people in the world. She celebrates her 34th birthday today. Tom Welling from Smallville. Wow, only attractive people were born today. He, of course, was Clark Kent Superman on that show for many, many seasons. He's 35 years old.
Is he really?
Yeah. I really think they should have just made him the new Superman in the movies. They should have just moved it over.
He's a great actor.
Great actor. He's Superman. Looks like it. Boom.
Yep.
Just make the transition. Jose Pasillas from Incubus, the drummer of that band, is 36 years old. T-Boz of TLC is 42. Kevin James, he's Paul Blart, the mall cop.
He sure is.
Kevin's so sad he's not
here
today.
He's so sad. He may be celebrating in his own way without us.
He is 47. Actor Jet Li is 49 years old. And actress, comedian, TV legend Carol Burnett celebrates her 79th birthday today. Carol, no more plastic surgery. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
Later this hour on the Kevin and Bean Show, we're going to hook you up close in the pit for the 20th annual K-Rock Weenie Roasty Fiesta to see Coldplay and Incubus, Offspring, Silver Sun Pickups, Pennywise, Angels and Airwaves, Dirty Heads, Garbage, and so much more. Your chance to win coming up in about 30 minutes. All right, a few minutes ago, Ralph was telling us about Clint Barton, who? Hawkeye, he said, in the Avengers movie,
yes.
Right? That's the secret identity, Clint Barton. Here's a name that rivals that for you, Lisa Bay. I'm going to tell you about Jackson Galaxy.
Oh, that's not his real name.
Jackson Galaxy is his real name, and he is not a superhero. He is the cat daddy. He has a show on the Animal Planet where he talks about all the things he learned from working in an animal shelter and bonding with cats. He had a special relationship with a 13-year-old cat that taught him everything he needs to know about life and love.
Aww.
The cat daddy, Jackson Galaxy. Let's find out more about this and bring the cat daddy on to the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hello there, Mr. Galaxy. How are you?
Hi, I'm Cat Daddy. How are you?
Your real name is Jackson Galaxy?
That's right. I'm Jackson Galaxy. Rock and roll star by day, cat whisperer by night.
Okay,
hi,
now what?
I'm Cat Daddy.
You're Cat Daddy. Yes, I understand. So what's the deal? Is you're working as a musician and then you decide to take a job at a pet shelter or something like that?
That's right. I was down and out. I was a rock musician, didn't have much going on in my life, so I took a part-time job at an animal shelter, and I had a drug problem at the time, but Benny, the cat, taught me how to live and love again. I'm cat daddy. Hi.
Okay, we understand that you're cat daddy. Hi. What the world's most incorrigible cat told me about life, love, and coming clean. How did the cat teach you a lesson? You were taking care of the animal, right?
I thought I was, but it turned around that the cat was taking care of me because I was just the guardian for the cat. The cat took care of me and taught me about life and love and getting clean. Hi, I'm cat daddy.
You're cat daddy. No, I understand that you're cat daddy. We got that. All right. What kinds of lessons have you learned from little Benny?
First of all, cats don't have drug problems.
Well, right.
Yeah.
So that was the first thing I learned. Don't have a drug problem.
Right,
we
knew that.
Be like a cat. Don't have a drug problem.
Right, well, they don't really have access to drugs, I hope.
They don't. And that's the other thing I learned. Don't have access to drugs. Be like a cat. don't have a drug problem. Just lick your paws.
That's good advice, actually, for a guy like you.
Down, Mr. Knuckles, please. I'm on the phone. I have a few cats now. I've added to my... Benny has some friends who live here at the house.
Yeah, it sounds like you've got too many cats, if you want my opinion.
You can never have too many cats. Cats teach you things about life and love. Hi, I'm Cat Daddy.
You don't have any kind of relationship with a human woman, do you?
Sure I do. I love the ladies.
Do you?
Yes.
What was the last time you went out on a date, Cat Daddy?
Well, dating them is one thing. I love them from afar.
Oh, I see. I understand.
Like, down, Kelly Clarkson. I'm on the phone.
All right. So don't do drugs. Don't have access to drugs.
That's
what other
right.
lessons? What other lessons have you learned from your cats?
Poop in a box. That's what I learned.
Well, no, that's not for humans, though. Humans have indoor plumbing. You don't need to poop in a box.
Well, why use up all that water? Why waste all that water flushing when you can just poop in a box? That's what I do.
So do you crawl into a box to poop?
Cheetos, please. I'm doing an interview.
Cheetos.
Yes, I crawl to a box and I poop. I poop in a sandbox.
Okay, I don't know.
Come by and see it sometime. It's fascinating. Hi, Daddy.
It doesn't sound that at all.
This sounds like a terrible life. It sounds like you're maybe too invested in your cats.
Gillionaire, get off the couch. I'm telling you.
Cat named Gillionaire?
Yeah, he's the best.
He is the best. That's what I understand. Yeah.
Also, eat everything out of a small tin. All of my food, I did have a small tin canister with a pull-top lid.
But what's wrong with, sitting down at a table with a plate, a knife, and fork?
Why waste all that energy just sitting down? You can just pour it into a bowl and just crawl around and eat it.
Okay, so your life is just...
Cat Daddy.
You're Cat Daddy. Your life has just become a lot simpler as a result of living like a cat.
That's what the cats taught me. Life, love, coming clean, and live simply.
Okay, all right.
And why, babe, just lick yourself. I just lick myself all day.
Oh, no. Come on.
Right? Isn't that right, Dr. Funyuns? Yes, it is. We just lick ourselves all day long. Sometimes I lick them and they lick me.
Oh, no.
We share our tongues. We're cats. I'm Cat Daddy.
You're not a cat, though. Look, Mr. Funyuns can lick himself because he can reach places that you can't. You need to take a shower.
Not true. I took yoga. Now I can lick everywhere.
Oh, wow.
I mean everywhere.
Okay, that's fine. Thank you.
I am Cat Daddy.
All right. Hey, party people, thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Thursday morning. The great William Shatner on the show later on today. Also, funny man Jay Moore is on his way in. He'll be here around 7 o'clock, and we got a brand new internet roundup for you as well. First, though, we get a lot of response to a lot of topics that we talk about here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Let's check in on the email. I'm very surprised by some of these that have to do with the topic of celebrities that you hate and you don't know why. Although it's really funny because some of the people who write in with celebrities they hate, they don't know why. Like this one, for instance, from someone who just labels him or herself C. Mm-hmm. They give lots of reasons why they hate the celebrity. I don't know what it is, but I really, 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 really hate Gwen Stefani, C says. Now, have you ever heard of anyone hating Gwen Stefani?
Not really.
Can you find anything to not like about her?
Not really.
I just think she's so scummy and gross. She can't sing to save her life, and she looks like she comes from the armpit of the earth.
What?
She's fake and ugly and needs to go to hell where she belongs.
Wow, that is intense.
She's so pretty. She's so talented. She's happily married with great kids. She just seems like the nicest person in the world. How does anyone hate Gwen Stefani? Dear Kevin and Bean, I'm a loyal K-Rock podcast listener. I was listening to your topic about celebrities you hate for no discernible reason. Well, mine is Jason Schwartzman. I know he is talented. I even liked him when I heard him talking with you guys on the air about his Bored to Death show. He seems funny, sincere, and nice, but I just hate him. He is small and always looks greasy, even though I know he's talented. I don't know why everybody celebrates him like he's the greatest comic genius ever. He just bugs me, and I basically avoid everything that he's in, even though I know that I'm missing out on some good stuff. Your loyal fan, Judy. What's that about?
He's not greasy, and I don't think we celebrate him like the greatest comic ever.
No, but he's very talented.
Super nice and talented, yes.
Very talented, very funny. I don't get that at all. This one is even more confounding to me. Hey, Bean, I was listening to your segment about celebrities I hate, and mine is Kristen Wiig.
Oh, what? Come on.
Isn't she like the superstar of comedy right now?
She's funny and smart, and she doesn't seem to take herself, you know, like she doesn't think she's all that.
I don't know why her comedy doesn't get me, but it does. Everyone told me that Bridesmaid movie was so good and she's so funny, and I tried and I could not even sit through it. I swear, I hung in there as much as I could. I feel like I'm in a bad Twilight Zone episode. I seem to be the only one who doesn't find her funny or can't stand her skits on SNL, but everyone else loves her, loves the show, Sam. I wrote Sam back and I said, you're just going to have to accept that you're wrong on
yes,
this.
Yes, 100%.
Dear Kevin and Bean, this is a name withheld email. We were talking about, I think it was hand sanitizer we were talking about as the hot new thing. A lot of teenagers have ended up in emergency rooms in the San Fernando Valley from drinking hand sanitizer for the alcohol, right?
Yes.
Name withheld says, while listening to your podcast in a deployed location, I couldn't help but think to write about your question, who thinks up these things? Well, you can thank your military, Bean. They're not just leaders in developing many of our everyday technological and weaponry. They also have a way of getting a load on with everyday items, from huffing compressed air, homebrew alcohol, and distilling hand sanitizer. I first saw hand sanitizer being cooked down with MRE heaters. The overall law was deployed is General Order 1, which says no booze, no porn, and no, and I love this phrase, scoodly pooping with others in your room. However, we in the service, we adapt and we overcome. Please don't use my name. We thought you'd want to know.
I want a scoodly poop.
I know you do. So apparently it's our troops who have figured out a way that you can get high on anyone.
Unbelievable.
Here's a topic that we did yesterday about a survey that showed that people across the country generally have an unfavorable opinion of Los Angeles. And we were trying to figure out why that is. I think the callers you've talked to on the show have illustrated why so many people dislike Los Angeles. We think we're better than everyone else. People don't like those who are so full of themselves, and I think they pick up on that, says William. Joanna adds, that first caller is why no one likes L.A. I'm from San Diego, where happy happens, by the way.
Yes.
And I've lived here for 8 years. People in L.A. are so freaking entitled, they think they're hot-ish, when most of them are constantly unhappy with their lives, it seems to me, thinking they all deserve more money, a better house, and a nice car, Joanna says. And you've got one with a different take from North Carolina, right?
Well, I do. And just to echo what Joanna said, somebody else emailed yesterday and said, essentially, that we complain about everything. Like, we've got it so good, and we complain about the weather. How could we ever complain about the weather? And I just this morning.
There were people yesterday complaining, oh my God, it's raining.
I was complaining because it was so freaking hot. This is from John, who is a transplant to Charlotte, North Carolina. He used to live in LA. So he's been in Charlotte for about 6 years, and he said, I still listen inexplicably to you guys online. But he said, basically, what he likes about LA is that people here are honest. He said, you know where you stand, and that's a good thing. One thing I have not enjoyed about living in the South is the so-called Southern hospitality. Sure, people seem more gracious and friendlier. But what I've noticed, it's disingenuous to your face. People are very nice, sometimes over the top nice. And then behind your back, they are talking smack like they are on stage with Jerry Springer.
Ouch.
So there.
South
Carolina.
Dear Kevin and me, my name is Will. I'm a longtime fan. I heard on the radio the other day, and I don't know if it's a rumor or not, that Chris Novoselic and Dave Grohl were going to be at the Weenie Roast this year, along with a hologram of Kurt Cobain. I've looked all over the internet and can't find anything to support this. I'm not sure if maybe I heard it wrong, but being the age that I was back in the late 80s and early 90s, Nirvana was some of the first music I was exposed to. Needless to say, I was one of those kids who was heavily influenced by the band, and to this day, they're still my favorite. I started playing piano at age 7, guitar at age 12. I picked up the drums and the harmonica. Next on my list is the violin. I'm a huge music lover. If you could possibly confirm or disconfirm, is that a word?
Nope.
This rumor for me, it would be greatly appreciated. More than words can express. Thank you in advance for your help. Yeah, absolutely. Nirvana is going to be there. The Kurt Cobain hologram, that is happening. They're playing right after the Doors. You definitely don't want to miss that. A couple more. Hi, Bean. My name is Corey. I heard you guys talking about LSD trips this morning. That was a fascinating conversation, wasn't it?
A lot of people have tried it.
A lot of people have tried it. Please don't, is what we said. I have to say that I was a bit of an LSD expert in my late teens and early 20s. I grew up in Miami. I now live in L.A., and I'm very normal for the most part. I got a beautiful wife, kids, a great job. I'm a productive member of society. But in my day, I probably dropped acid over 150 times.
Whoa.
I noticed that no one you spoke to had any sexual experiences on acid. But I have to tell you guys that sex is the most incredible experience on LSD. Of course, you have to get the sex started, which can be very hard to do at first. But once it's begun, hold on, because the climax is amplified tenfold. That's interesting, right? Maybe we'll close on this more cautionary note. Hey, guys, I just want to share because I think it's important for people to know how bad even experimenting with drugs can really be. I have two friends who both killed their families on acid. One killed his mom, brother, and dog while they were having dinner. Another killed his mom and dad and put his dad in a bag in a closet. Both were really sad tragedies, and no one would have ever predicted either would have done anything remotely close to this. I also know one guy that bad tripped and ended up in a hospital for 3 months, and his pupils never returned to their normal size. They are forever huge. It's crazy. Just wanted to share so people can see how bad LSD can get. It is really a gamble. I'm not a prude or someone who would try to scare people out of doing what they want, but these are true incidents. Thanks for the great show and making me laugh, Janine.
So do it?
So I would say no so much. I would say not.
That's not my takeaway, but okay.
Good for you. I hope you feel good about yourself.
Thank you very much for all of the emails. And, of course, you can always get in contact with us, lisa@carrick.com, beanatcarrick.com, or Kevin or Ralph or King of Mexico, whoever you're trying to get in touch with. All right. Let's clear the phone lines at 1-800-520-1067 and start taking calls right now. If you'd like to join us a week from Saturday, it's the sold-out 20th annual K-Rock Weenie Roast E-Fiesta, Cinco de Mayo, May 5th, Verizon Wireless Amphitheater, a fantastic lineup. We've got a game that you can play that I think you might be able to win. Call us now. We'll talk to you next on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Well, that one's over without much notice, isn't it? Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show here on the world-famous K-Rock. How about this Weenie Roast? How about the sold-out 20th annual K-Rock Weenie Roast if yes to happening on Saturday, Cinco de Mayo at the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater? How about you winning some tickets right now by calling us at 1-800-520-1067 if you can, Mumford the Hits.
Hey, my friend, if you can guess this song I'm singing, you will win the tickets. It won't be very easy, but if you can guess it, you will win the tickets. Guess the song I'm singing if you can, and then we'll give you some more tickets.
Hey, Mumford, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show, my friend. How are
you? Kevin and Bean, it's really great to be on your show.
Okay, that's
I'm looking forward to this game.
Thank you, I hope someone wins.
I hope someone wins.
Right. Now, listen, I'll learn not to ask you any more questions, but Mumford is not on the bill, Lisa May. There's no Mumford and Sons on the Weenie Roast, but they're still kind enough to stop by and help us give away the tickets to our listeners.
Well, it's very nice of them.
Well, I'm glad to be right here and help you give away the ticket.
Okay,
I really hope that someone wins. If not, this is a waste. Big waste of my time.
So here's how it's going to work. We're going to go to each of the callers on the line, and Mumford is going to be doing a song, a hit song that's going to be performed at the Weenie Roast a week from Saturday. All you have to do is tell us title and artist of the song that Mumford is singing as Mumford sings the hits. We'll do them in order, starting with Shane to get us going. He is on line one. If you're able to come up with the song title and artist, you go into the drawing to win the tickets in the pit. Hi, Shane. How are you doing today?
Tired. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Way to get on the air, to get a chance to win Weenie Roast tickets and start off by bitching at us. Nice job there, Shane. All right, we are Mumfording the Hits. Listen up. Well, what title and artist of this song?
Now, I'll relate this little bit. That happens more than I'd like to admit. Late at night, she knocks on my door. Drunk again and looking to score. Drunk again and looking to score.
That would be Offspring.
Yes.
What the hell? That is Offspring. Self-esteem?
Yes! I thought you were going to be too tired to come up with it, but nice job, Shane. Well done. You are in the drawing. You might win the tickets. Matt is next. He joins us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Matt. You ready to mum for the hits?
Yep.
Good luck, my friend.
When you see yourself in a crowded room, do your fingers itch or your pistol whipped? Do you step in line and release the glitch? Do you think she'll sleep with a panic? Do you think she'll sleep with a panic?
maybe not use that word.
No. Yeah.
Title and artist, please. I mean, half the title is in the lyrics, if that helps.
If you could understand what Mumford was saying.
Every word.
No clue. Sorry.
We were looking for Silver Sun Pickups. The song is Panic Switch. I hesitate to ask Mumford a question, but why do all of the songs that you sing have the exact same melody, Mumford?
I think that you're mistaken. Every song is completely different. They all sound unique to me. They are not the same. They are not the same.
Not the same, right. Okay. Andrew, line three. Thanks for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. Let's see if you can join Shane in the drawing for the tickets. Good luck. You ready?
Ready. Let's do it.
Here we go.
And the tears come screaming. Let me say that again. One second. And the tears come streaming down your face when you lose something you can't replace. When you love someone but it goes to waste. Could it be worse? Could it be worse?
Oh, wow.
Title and artist.
Coldplay, Fix You.
Yes,
woo!
It is.
Nice. Come streaming down your face.
Now, Mumford, you hear the way Coldplay sings that. It sounds nothing like the way you sing
exactly
it. You get
the way I did it, and I'll punch you if you disagree.
Oh, good. We're done. Thank you. Robert is up next. He's on line four here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Robert, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. You're one of our final two contestants. You ready to play?
I'm ready.
Good luck.
Pour your misery down. Pour your misery down on me. Pour your misery down. Pour your misery down on me. Pour your misery down on me.
All right. Not a lot of lyrics, but what's the title and artist there?
Is that Garbage Every... It was Only Happy When It Rains?
Wow!
Yeah!
In a million years, did you think Robert was going to come up with that?
Nope.
Not in a million years.
Okay, thank you, Mumford. That's fine. Let's go to Marcel, our final contestant here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We are Mumfording the hits for pit tickets for the K-Rock Weenie Roasty Fiesta. Marcel, good luck to you.
All right, thanks.
Laugh a minute was only beginning. Jason Matthew Fisk, this one's for you. Whoa, 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 whoa.
Sounds nothing like that, Mumford. All right, Tyler Artis, what is it?
Oh, man.
A lot of whoa, whoa, whoas, if that helps.
I knew, like, almost every other one before this one. I have no idea.
Oh, how about Brohim by Pennywise? That's what we were looking for. Thank you for playing, though, anyway. All right. Oops, that's the wrong button. Let's see who's in the drawing here. We got your Shane. We got your Andrew. We got Robert. One of them wins pit tickets for the K-Rock Weenie Roasty Fiesta on Cinco de Mayo. Who we got, Lisa?
Our winner is Robert.
Yay!
Robert?
Yeah?
Mumford, tell him what he's won.
You've won tickets to the K-Rock's Weenie Roasty Fiesta. Congratulations to you, yay, Robert. I hope you have a good time at the show. Make sure to wear some sunblock, because it gets pretty hot.
Thanks for playing Mumford the Hits.
Thanks, guys.
Congratulations, now you've won the contest, and then you have got those tickets. You knew what songs I was singing, and you were written, you've got those tickets. Hey.
Jay Moore coming in after the top of the hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We have to talk NFL draft with Jay.
Yeah.
Ralph, since we don't have a sports guy, Jay Moore's the closest thing we got to it.
Yeah, that's boring this year. Draft's boring this year.
You think so?
Yeah.
Beyond a couple of
marquee
players?
No drama at the top, that's for sure.
Well, that is definitely for sure. Yeah. Anyway, Jay is always great. He'll be joining us talking about a lot of things, including his upcoming weekend at the Ontario Improv. Don't miss that. William Shatner on the program later on today. Danny Putty from TV's Community. And a brand new internet roundup as well. First, though, Ralph's got the showbiz beat here on a Thursday. What's going on?
Maybe Jay Moore will be talking about the podcast that he and I did together. I was the guest on his podcast.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. All right. Okay. All right now. Okay. All right.
What was this?
We recorded last week. He hasn't posted it yet, but he's going to put it up soon. And it was very entertaining. We had a really good time. I think people will enjoy it. So,
sounds like fun.
Yeah,
great.
We had a good time. Speaking of podcasts, this Saturday night, it's the return of Hollywood Babylon. We're back live on stage at the Lovitz up at Universal City Walk. Smith is out of the country still, so hilarious comedian Brad Williams is going to be stopping by, filling in as my co-host. Those of you who were lucky enough to be at the April Foolishness show saw how funny Brad Williams can be. I think he stole the show, quite frankly.
Yeah, a lot of people are saying that.
Yeah, he had a really strong set. So Brad Williams will be my co-host for Hollywood Babylon. We'll be doing it 10 o'clock Saturday night up at the Lovitz at Universal City Walk. We'd love to have you come by. If you want to get tickets, you can go to thelovitz.com or babylonralph.com and get tickets there, too. But come on by. It's going to be fun.
Midget, little person off. I mean, midget, freak, you're small, freak, midget.
Yeah, if I haven't mentioned it, Brad is a little person.
I never even noticed that about Brad. That's interesting.
It's true. I have tickets to give away to the K-Rock advanced screening of Marvel's The Avengers.
Yay!
Certainly one of the most anticipated movies of the summer blockbuster season. It's out on May 4th in theaters everywhere. You'll see it on May the 1st at the AMC Century City 15. If you're one of our lucky callers who knows the correct answer to my trivia question of the hour, which is, you know how it is being a superhero. Sometimes you got to get from point A to point B. And maybe you can't fly like Iron Man.
Right.
Maybe you can't jump miles at a time like the Hulk. So what is the Avengers' preferred method of transportation? What is their special vehicle that the Avengers travel in? If you're an Avengers fan, you will know this answer. 1-800-520-1067. That's the number to call. What do the Avengers fly around in? 1-800-520-1067.
Ryan Gosling. It's a swag car, isn't it?
It is a swag car, yes. They borrow it from douchey McCanadian. Al Pacino has an owie.
What happened?
He was on the set of his new movie, Stand Up Guys, which looks to be a lot of fun, by the way. It's about a bunch of aging gangsters, him and Chris Walken and some other funny people. And apparently, during a gunfire scene, some black powder went from one of the blanks they were shooting, got into his eye.
Oh, ouch.
Yeah, hurt his eye pretty bad. So medics on the scene were flushing out his eye, but he had to go to the hospital. It looked like he was in a lot of pain, but apparently he'll be okay, and he is recovering. But it was his birthday yesterday. That's a bad way to celebrate your birthday.
What a great idea for a movie, by the way.
Yeah, I think the premise is they're all hired to knock each other off, and they know it. So before they do it, they call it a truce, and they all get together, I think, for a weekend, because they all know each other for over the years. Yeah, final celebration, and then it's game on. So, interesting concept. Oh, my eye. It hurts! Wow. Michael Lowen didn't appreciate Rosie O'Donnell's comments about his daughter, Lindsay. As I told you yesterday, she was on the Today Show, Rosie O'Donnell was, saying that Lindsay Lohan wasn't capable of playing Elizabeth Taylor in the new Lifetime movie. Michael Lowen shot back to TMZ.com that Rosie is twice his daughter's age, has two failed talk shows, a failed marriage, and only gained notoriety for adopting a bunch of kids. So, boom, it's on.
Yeah.
O'Donnell versus Lohan. MMA.
It's hard to be in Michael's corner.
It is. Every time he opens his mouth, I'm like, oh, whatever I was thinking, now I think the opposite.
Mm-hmm. And I hate Rosie, too, but she certainly has had a more accomplished career than Lindsay Lohan has.
Really?
She certainly hasn't gotten into trouble like so. Lindsay. Messed up her own life.
What has Rosie done, other than League of Her Own?
She did some movies.
She had a talk show.
Comedy career.
A phenomenally successful talk show, though, for many years.
Yeah.
I mean, Lindsay Lohan couldn't do anything as creative as that.
Hmm.
She just couldn't.
Hmm.
Look, I'm no fan of Rosie, don't get me wrong. And Lindsay's way hotter.
Mm. Mm.
All right, let's move on.
Good point.
She sounds fat.
Speaking of Lindsay, she was over there on the set of Glee filming her episode. But apparently she was showing up late to the set, pissing off some of the cast members.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, what a surprise. Dot Marie Jones, who plays Coach Beast on the show, she tweeted, "Gonna be a long day. Some people show up late and just throw a wrench into things. Not cool." Apparently Lindsay was late, but TMZ.com says she was late because she was filming some other scenes on another set. They were late wrapping up there, so it was late getting to the set where Dot Marie Jones was. So that was the problem. It wasn't that Lindsay was just dawdling. She was working at another part of the studio.
Well, that's good to hear.
So Dot Marie Jones says, "I'm sorry, and now I'm sorry I ate her." Apparently she swallowed Lindsay's solo, so that's a shame. Do we have an answer to my trivia question?
We do.
Ruben on line two, I believe. Knows about the Avengers' preferred method of travel. Ruben?
Yeah, how you doing?
Good, sir. What do they fly around in?
Quinjet.
The Quinjet, the legendary Quinjet. Oh, I love me. I wish I had a Quinjet.
Why do they call it that, Ralph?
I believe it's because it has five engines.
Okay. All right.
Either that or it holds five people. I don't know. But there's five involved. Hence Quinn.
Okay. Thank you for that
five
lesson.
Is Quinn.
Yes.
Four is Quattro. Three is trio. Five is Quinn. Hold on, Rupert. We're going to give all the details, but you're going to the advanced screening of Marvel's The Avengers.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Today's celebrity birthdays, actress, comedian, TV legend Carol Burnett is 79 years old today. Greatest variety show ever, Carol
totally
Burnett
Totally agree.
Yeah. Jet Li, 49 years old today. Wow, he's in great shape at 49. He looks great.
I think he works out. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I believe he does, too. Kevin James, King of Queens, doesn't look nearly as good at 47 as Jet Li does at 49. T-Boz of TLC fame is 42. Tom Welling from Smallville. He was Superman on that show for many seasons. 35 years old today. Stana Katic, the lovely, the talented Kate Beckett from Castle. She is just so adorable. Apparently, she wants to go to Weenie Rose, too.
That's what I hear.
I have to break it to my wife that I'm going to take a date. She is 34 years old today. Jordana Brewster is 32. And Channing Tatum from 21 Jump Street and many, many other films, including the upcoming G.I. Joe movie. He is 32 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
World-famous K-Rock is on your radio or on your internet at 106.7 KROQ or KROQ.com. The great William Shatner joins us later on today. Danny Putty from TV's Community and a brand new internet roundup. Hey, do I hear the sniffling of Jay Mohr on the Kevin and Bean Show?
You recognize that sniffle?
That was Lisa May crying.
I heard. Why is Lisa crying? You take your pants off again?
She's cutting onions. She's doing Ina from the Food Network.
How
new
do you
recipe.
Know about my onion cutting issues. You don't, know I have onion don't
tell,
goggles?
Don't tell Jeffrey I'm cutting onions. Look at that. You make a chicken and a man shows up.
Jay Mohr and his adorable dog Mabel are here at the Kevin and Bean Show.
That's right.
Frequent guests because we love Jay so much, and you can love him too on stage this weekend at the beautiful Ontario Improv Thursday night through Sunday.
Improv too.
So Thursday, that's tonight, don't you know? And then two shows Friday, two shows Saturday, and then again on Sunday. That's a lot of Ontario, Jay. Do you just stay out there for the whole weekend?
No, I go back and forth because I got the baby. And, you know, Bean, here's the deal. I haven't been there in like 3 years. I actually wrote a blog about it once, about the Inland Empire. Mm-hmm. People always say like, hey, when are you coming back to the 909? When are you coming back to the 909?
Yeah.
Well, if I come back and you don't show up, then we don't go. Like, if you look at the calendar for the Ontario Improv, there's a very specific type of comic that plays there.
I see what you're saying.
With maybe one name in the title only, and you know, things like Hamburger and Chucky Ducky.
Uh-huh.
And so I'm like, you know, maybe because of the podcast, we can make a run at it. Because I always reference Fontana and River Tucky and all those nice towns out there.
So they have not supported you in the past, is what you're saying. So if people like Jay Mohr's, they need to come out.
They have supported me. I just think it's a tough ticket to sell in the Inland Empire because it's not, I don't know. You know, I don't know.
You have your people there, but there's a lot of not your people there.
Right. It used to be next to a Marshall's. The Improv.
Really?
You know, like, you know, like the Irvine, the Brea, it's next to like an entire giant megaplex, and there's a Dave and Buster's, and there's this cool restaurant, and there's sushi, and then you go to Ontario, and it's next to a freaking Marshall's where you sell pajamas with three pant legs in them for $1.99. So you go, well, that doesn't probably equal disposable income. But now Ontario is like redone itself. Ontario Mills Mall. I actually looked on the website this morning, Bean and Lisa. And whoever that is over there.
That's Beer Mug.
It's Beer Mug. You know Beer Mug.
I know. I just don't want to give him credit. You got to earn it. If you've never been to the Inland Empire, it really is just where pit bulls go to die.
Oh,
it's like,
see,
you know,
that's
like
the kind of comedy that's going to keep people away from you, Jay.
No, I think I'm going the other way. I think it'll draw them out of their homes because they want to prove me wrong. Like how old Jewish people moved to Florida. Pit bulls just find themselves in Ontario. And what, Lisa? Why are you so sad for pit bulls?
Sad.
I will tell you, Jay, that years ago, we don't mention it much anymore, but years ago we had a little bit of an ongoing feud with the 909. Remember, Lisa, we always used to do, people used to call in with 909 jokes and stuff like that, and all these people would always call and go, you guys don't know what you're talking about. It's so great out here. It's so much more affordable out here. The air is so much cleaner out here. But every single one of them, if they could have moved to, you know, the 818 or the 310 or the 203, I think they would.
We called it the Valley of the Dirt People. And
Valley
the funny
of the Dirt
thing
people, right.
was that whenever someone would call, they'd say, yes, there are really crappy parts, but I live in the nice part. But every
it's
single
like
person
New Jersey.
Who called said, yes, those parts are crappy, but I live in the nice
yeah,
part.
Yeah, that's what people say in Jersey. Like, yeah, but there's really nice parts. New Jersey's got really nice parts to it. Like, no one says that about anywhere else in the country. But now you've told me, by the way, thanks for jumping on me for making fun of it, and then you guys continue the conversation by destroying it.
We're just telling you our history.
I'm just telling
you
the
Jay, don't mock it. This is what we used to say.
we used to say.
But then we won. Then we didn't have to mock it anymore because we beat out all those supporters of the 909. But
it says on their website, I actually looked at the Ontario Wikipedia page, that it's the gateway. It's called the Gateway to Southern California. Mm-hmm. Which is wrong because we all know it's the gateway to Zacatecas. That would have been funnier as Norm
in the other direction.
Yeah, it's the gateway to Fontana. They used to call it to lure.
This is too much information.
No,
on
listen.
Ontario.
They want to lure people to Ontario to farm and stuff. They called it like a land of water, and they had a fountain at the train. You can look it all up. They had a fountain at the train station, a huge fountain, and they would only turn it on when the train came in. So when people got off the train in like the early 1900s, they'd go, "Look at this, there's water everywhere." And then when the train left, they would turn the fountain off.
That's awesome.
And now they get all their water from Mount Baldy, which sounds dirty.
It does sound like something.
It sounds like something you go to like a sex club and go, why don't we go in the back room and get some water from Mount Baldy?
Yeah, it does. It does. So are you nervous at all about having to sell out, what, 6 shows in Ontario?
I will not sell out 6 shows in Ontario. Because absolutely not.
Irvine. 8 o'clock tonight?
8 o'clock tonight, we'll probably have about 200 people.
Mm-hmm.
How big's the room?
300, you know.
Well, so
330.
That's not bad.
Yeah, it ain't great. Comparatively, if my name was Samore, I'd probably sell it out.
Uh-huh.
Like, she was there last weekend. She sells out. I always have a good time there. I saw boxing there at the Hilton Gardens. I saw I used to see Mark Too Sharp Johnson when he was lightweight champ fight out there. I like it out there. Nice batting cages out there I go to.
Okay. All right. All right, Ontario is where it's happening. Ontario Improv tonight. I promise I'll have
funnier things to say momentarily. Jeez,
no, I know you will. Well, we needed to sell the show. That's the important thing, is to let people know you're serious about coming to Ontario and you'd like to keep coming back to Ontario.
Yeah.
But it's important.
Like people always say, like, I just played Vancouver, and they go on the radio. They go, how often do you come up to Vancouver? I'm like, well, if everybody comes out, I'll come once a year.
Right.
But if nobody goes, the 909 because people were too high on meth to dial 911 to get out.
They got close.
I woke up and wrote jokes about the Inland Empire. You lose. Good day, sir.
Jay Moore is here. I promise he'll be funny when we return right after this on the Kevin Abid Show. Funny man Jay Moore in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Yeah, everybody's going to get pregnant. That's what you're waiting for, Bean. Kevin... Everybody wanted Tracy to show up and get impregnated. I'm going to Ontario to get Fontana impregnated, overflowing to Riverside.
Thursday through Sunday night on stage at the Ontario Improv, and of course, the Moore Stories podcast. By the way, you've had some great guests lately. The beautiful
Ralph
Aisha
Garman
Tyler.
Got me pregnant.
Aisha Tyler, who I love so much.
Aisha Tyler got Ralph Garman pregnant. Everybody begot somebody.
This is crazy.
Then Ralph Garman on the. By the way, I remember it wasn't that long ago that Ralph Garman.
He got Bobby Clark pregnant.
Ralph Garman used to look down his nose at people with podcasts. He used to be so dismissive of podcasts.
That's because he's so tall. He's 6'8". He's Meadowlark Ralph.
He's got his own podcast.
Meadowlark Ralph.
Your podcast. He's on Brad Williams' podcast. You can't get him off the podcast.
Well,
now.
He knows that
so
is podcast season.
It is podcast
season. Podcast season.
That is very true.
Everybody going to get pregnant.
Hey, Tracy Morgan, how about the live 30 Rock show tonight? How's that going to go for
God.
A guy like you?
I'm so excited for the live show, Bean.
It does seem like that would be dangerous, putting Tracy Morgan on a television
network
live.
It's going to be lovey-dovey because I miss my daughter. She's a big girl with a doo-doo pamper. I miss my daughter. I miss my daughter. Yesterday was Al Pacino's birthday.
Yes.
Right?
I baked him a cake.
Did you, Tracy?
No! I thought about it, and I said, damn it, I ain't baking no cake for Al Pacino, because he made him a Serpico. He was a rat.
Well, he just played that in the movie. He's
Serpico
not really
was a rat. That's my word, and my word is pregnant.
Okay, all right.
And you know crazy rhymes with crazy. And my favorite book is Scruples. Ralph Garman got... Bobby Clark is Ralph Garman's biological father.
All right, tell me about that. I don't know what that means.
Bobby Clark was a Broad Street bully, for real.
Okay.
He had no teeth.
What's happening, Lisa?
I don't know.
Bobby Clark had no teeth.
I don't know who Bobby Clark is.
Barbara Clark was Bobby Clark's mother. Everybody got everybody else pregnant. Lisa May got Lisa G pregnant.
No, okay, that's not true.
Yeah.
That's true.
I'm lost.
Mike Catherwood got Kevin Ryder pregnant.
That is true.
That is accurate. That did happen.
Kevin's out on paternity leave, giving birth to little radio babies. Little
I think that's
iPad
true.
Babies jumping out his butt. Yeah, Kevin, I see you with your butt and your iPad baby. Bobby Clark, Ralph Garman's father. That's a joke for four people.
Yeah, I'm not one of them. I know that.
He's a Broad Street bully, just like my father.
Ryan Sickler is going to be on with Jay Moore.
Morgan Freeman is Ryan Sickler's biological father.
I don't think that's true either.
That is true.
He's a comedian also, though. Very funny.
Ryan Sickler is my biological son. Believe what Jay Moore says because it's true. Good old Andy.
Wow. Morgan,
crawled through a river of you-know-what and came out the other side. That's a white guy doing a Morgan Freeman impression.
Not a bad Morgan Freeman impression, though.
Not bad at all. Not bad at all, Red.
Tell me about
Ryan Sickler's great. He's a super great comic.
I don't know who he is.
He's from Baltimore. He's got a great podcast called The Crab Feast. And he just was a great storyteller. Last time, we did a live podcast, and he told a story. He was at a party where a guy got bit in the face by an alligator. It was like a college party.
Yeah.
And the guy did so much coke that he thought it was a good idea to have an alligator as a pet. And a buddy of his picked up the alligator and it bit him in the face.
Yeah,
but I remember him in the story. It's not my story, but I remember the whole time. What struck me in the story was he was talking about how the guy was so coked out, he had coke on his face. And then he held the alligator, and he was dancing like Axl Rose because Sweet Child of Mine came on with the alligator. And then when he looked off to the side and looked back, the alligator bit his face. And he said the alligator's eyes lit up like, this is what humans taste like. And then the second thought in the alligator was, is this coke? Like, this is great. And then he said he ran into that guy like last year. He worked at like Lids in the mall, like where you sell hats.
Right.
And he just looked like a super pockmarked person, and he realized they were all alligator teeth marks.
Oh, my God.
Like Edward James Olmos' face.
Oh, wow. That's
Edward James Olmos is S.I. Morales' biological father.
You also, speaking of podcasts, went on Rich Eisen's podcast recently to talk all things NFL, right?
Rich Eisen is Matt Lauer's uncle.
Okay,
All right, I'll stop. I'm sorry. I get stuck. I get stuck inside.
I know you do.
Of course, Rich Eisen's podcast. We did it live from the Ontario Improv tonight, Thursday, 8 o'clock. Be there. Or be square. Rich Eisen's podcast was a lot of fun on the NFL Network. And if I could work, this is true. If I could work anywhere forever, it would probably be the NFL Network.
Why don't you get a job at the NFL Network?
I called Eric Weinberger, the man in charge of men, and
you could be the special Jets correspondent.
Yeah, but that's just one team. I'd like a bigger role. I would actually just put on a suit, be at a desk, and be the guy just rapping, like be one of the guys, and be Johnny Corporate, but like with the edge, be the guy that could say things the players can't say.
Right.
But he's like, we're looking towards 2013 to sync up and do something together.
That would be awesome because I know how much you love the NFL. And that's a great channel, too. You'd be fantastic on that.
I got the NFL pregnant.
That would help.
I really get stuck in impressions. But at least I'm stuck in Tracy because there's days like when I get stuck in Harvey Keitel and then no one laughs because it's such an off the beaten path. Impression.
But what's great about you, though, is you're not deterred by the lack of laughter. You stick with it. I don't care about you.
I like how suddenly I'm a comics comic in here. You're like, wow, you're getting no laughs on Ontario. When we come back, Jay, it'll be funny. And the fact that no one's laughing doesn't bother you at all, JJ. No, that does bother me deeply, and it cuts like a knife, as Brian Adams would say.
Dude, you're going to be fine.
I know. You're kind of making me doubt. You know what? I'm canceling.
We're not doing Ontario.
It'll be great.
I was leaving my hotel to take my buddy to the batting cages. This is a true story in Ontario. And I drove past a bus stop. It was 8 in the morning. And there was a Mexican fellow with a belt buckle that looked like he had won some type of WBC boxing belt.
Mm-hmm.
Or like a rodeo type belt. Like a giant, like I won something belt buckle.
Yeah.
And he had a cowboy hat on at the bus station. He was wearing two different kinds of denim. And I swear to God, he was holding a rooster. I'm not making that up for a joke. That's what I saw. And I thought to myself, this town's going places.
Guys got to make a living, man.
But Ontario's on the up and up. It's coming. It's coming, man.
Definitely.
Tonight at 8 o'clock, two shows Friday, two shows Saturday, and then Sunday night at 7. You can get your tickets online right now at OntarioImprov.com. See the great Jay Moores and Ryan Sickler as well on stage in Ontario.
Tonight!
Tonight. We'll take a break. Be right back on the Kevin and Bean Show. The great William Shatner joins us in about 20 minutes or so here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Jay Moores, do you know William Shatner?
We were in Vietnam together, but we never were in the same chalk.
I understand. Gotcha.
We shared a hookah.
Okay. Jay Moore is here. He's on stage at the Ontario Improv. That is going to be tonight, Thursday, April 26th at 8 o'clock. Two shows Friday, two shows Saturday, and then Sunday night. Get your tickets at OntarioImprov.com. Are there, forgive me for asking a 909 question, but are there a lot of stoners out there? I get the impression we have a lot of the pot callers from the 909, it seems like, Jay.
You guys, yeah, I used to get really high in the 909. Which, you know what? Let me tell you something. I am the worst guy in the world to get high with. I am, like, every guy has that one friend, gal, everybody has that one friend where you, like, when the joint gets passed that way, you go, oh, no. Like, keep that person out of the circle. That's me. Because I get so freaked out when I'm high that I start talking out loud and I ruin everybody else's high. Like, you'll be in the parking lot of a concert, you know, you're going to see Pearl Jam with Eddie Vedder, all right. And I'll be in the parking lot with my buddies and the joint will get to me and the pie will kick in. And then I'll just, everyone's like having a good time listening to me. And I'll be like, hey, do you guys ever feel like you're having a heart attack? And everybody else in the car is high. So they're all like, oh my God, yes. If I put my fingers on my neck, I can feel my heartbeat. What's wrong with me? And then you get five stoners that blow off a concert and you're sitting in the emergency room laughing at male nurses. You're a nurse, but a guy. How is Pearl Jam? Not good. Jay had a heart attack. I'm the worst.
You bring down the whole party vibe when it gets
and you wind up just saying things like, guys, what did Muggs just say during the break? Can we say it on air?
I think I have skin cancer, he announced with great alarmingness.
Not he didn't, but he prefaced it by going, first of all, we're having a conversation about the Jets and Tim Tebow. Dave comes in, and then all of a sudden Muggs just goes, Jay, what do you know about skin cancer? I was like,
Why would you ask a comedian to diagnose your cancer, Beer Mug? Well, that didn't even make any sense to me.
Jay's not only a comedian, he's a very good philanthropist, and he knows a lot about life. So
I played a doctor. I played a doctor. Means? He knows a philanthropist is somebody that plays for the Phillies. Bobby Clark is Ralph Garman's biological father.
Oh, dear.
It's just random that Beer Mug's taken off his shirt so that you can diagnose him.
Jay's
a
smart guy. I thought I'd ask.
Genius IQ.
Yes. That's why I asked you.
Wait, is that true, Jay?
140, yeah, right at the lower threshold.
Really? You're a 140 IQ?
Yes,
We did a phone-in topic a couple of weeks ago with the Mensa people, people who are in Mensa who listen to Kevin and Meech.
Bunch of know-it-alls.
Yeah.
Well, they were a bunch of people who were as average a group as you could imagine in terms of what they've gone on to do with their lives. In other words, scoring high on the Mensa test didn't necessarily mean good things for them.
Sometimes I think when people have super, super, well, I know, we all know, when you have like a super, super high IQ, you can't like function in regular society because everything's firing, the synapses are too quick. Do you know what I mean?
I do.
It's good to be on that low threshold of genius IQ. Like, I bet Ralph has a genius IQ. I think most comics.
He's pretty smart.
Yeah, I think most comics, not Ryan Sickler, he's an absolute dope, but I think most comics are right up near genius IQ.
When did you get measured? How do you know you have a 140 IQ?
When did I get measured? That's a little, you know.
No. For IQ.
Oh, I see. I thought you said, I'm all right, Spider. I remember in kindergarten I got tested, and then I got tested in fifth grade, and then I got tested twice in high school because they thought I had ADD, HD, HD, AUPS, or whatever it is.
Right, that's it.
Because I was so horrible a student, but then when I would test really high.
And they're like, that can't be right. Let's test him again.
And I never shut up, and I was a super problem, and I was like a wrestling guy, so like I wouldn't show up because I'd be running and trying to lose weight, and then I would take IQ tests because they basically obviously wanted me to have a 80 IQ and go, okay, that explains everything.
Right.
But were you one of those people who was so smart that you were kind of bored with schoolwork, therefore you did not apply yourself? Because I've heard that story before.
That's not mine. I think if I paid attention, I'd have a better answer to that question because I was just bananas. I was really, really bananas. But I also knew that the game was rigged. They tell you, like, in algebra, you're going to need this for the rest of your life. And I knew, like, don't lie to me. You know who needs it for the rest of their life? Algebra teachers. Those are the only people. No one in the workforce listening right now in their cars has been in a job interview and they said, wow, you graduated from UCLA. You're overqualified. One last question. We ask all our applicants this. What's 2A plus 2B? And you're just agog like, I have no idea. They rip up your application. They go, sorry, here at Wendy's, we like to establish, we like to add and subtract letters when you're working the fryer. 2A plus 2B is ABBA, in case you're wondering. Dancing Queen.
So you knew
was Staying Alive's father.
You knew then that there's no reason to learn algebra because you weren't going to need it
right.
after high school.
Geometry, on the other hand, straight A's. It was memorization. There were theorems and stuff in place, and it was angles. I could use it to play pool. I understood the importance of geometry. History, I enjoyed. English, I thought if the book was cool, then I'll pay attention, you know. Like Brave New World, you know, I guess, you know, but then Fahrenheit 451, straight A's. This is awesome.
Interesting. We're learning a little something
Lord
about
of the Flies.
I didn't know before.
Lord of the Flies. There's nothing worse than a teacher telling you how a book goes. And there's some incredible educators out there that are so underpaid and underappreciated, and their union doesn't do them any favors. Because when you have tenure after 5 years, and we all go to vote to see if you could get tenure after 3 years, that lets me know that you're freaking crazy. Tenure means never fired.
Right.
Guess what, Bean? You've been on the air for 3 years. You can never be fired. Like, what are you talking about? You know, there's some real – whatever. There's great educators out there that do a good job, you know, teaching our kids, and they should be paid a lot. But it's also weird, like in public schools in New Jersey, when a teacher goes, no, Lord of the Flies means this. And I remember I got kicked out of Mrs. Nadler's English class because she says, what does that first paragraph say to you? And then she called on me and I said, it's like freedom. They're on a beat. I forget what it was, but it's like freedom. She goes, no, you're wrong. The crack of the twigs underneath, the pounding of the surf, the sun beating down. It's oppressive. Everything is. And she painted like this total opposite picture. And I remember saying to her, I think you're wrong. In fact, I know you are. I remember saying, I was 15 years old. I think you're wrong. In fact, I know you are, because I'm pretty sure the beauty of literature is that I should be able to interpret it any way I want. And then she said, well, why don't you interpret it down the hall at the principal's office? And I said, fine, bitch. That's your ass. Right? No, I didn't say that part, but I thought it. Wow. Yeah. That just was an entire – if you just turned in the radio right now, you'd be like, who's this cokehead rambling?
Yes.
That was total cokehead rant. Lord of the Flies, let me tell you, man.
Well, she asked you what it meant to you.
Yeah.
So how can you be wrong?
That was my point. Like, don't tell me –
What
Lord of the Flies means. I know what it means.
This is why you were one of the smart kids, though. If you weren't as smart, you would have just accepted her answer instead. Instead, you fought back.
Right.
I got to give a special shout out to Clodagh McConville, who's listening right now. She just texted me, and she's a loyal listener to Kevin and Bean.
Oh, cool.
All right.
I just looked down and said, you go, JJ. Put your name on it.
Okay.
Do you know where that comes from, Bean, on my podcast? Put your name on it.
I know you say it all the time.
I don't, no.
Her, how much time? 30 seconds?
Sure. Yeah, sure.
Herman Edwards, when he was coach of the Jets, when you're a coach in the NFL, you can never be like a black coach in the NFL. You can never be like an actual full, I mean this in all like.
Seriousness?
Yeah, in seriousness and as, it's bad. It's not, you can't be like an actual full black guy.
What are you talking about?
I mean, when Mike Singletary played football, he said, oh, I'm going to be here all day, baby. Yeah, this is my kind of party right here. And then when he coached, he said, Vernon Davis is very difficult to play with. Can't win with him. Can't do it.
I gotcha.
And I'm like, well, which guy's the guy? Because you, Mike, on the field, was like, oh, this is my kind of party right here. I love it, man. Come on, we're going to do it right here. Sideline, sideline, baby.
And then you're like, well, we're going to do the best we can. He has an upper body contusion. So Herman Edwards had two moments when he was head coach of the New York Jets when he went full Oakland black. And one was, you play to win the game. You remember that famous quote?
I don't, but I love it.
That's not the black part. The black part was when he leaned to the side of the podium and went, hello? And like the cool, like, you play to win the game. Hello? Like, is Herm going to have to cut a bitch? And then another time, which is what my podcast is based on, the anonymity of the internet and how it's killing all of us slowly, was somebody said, Herm, sources say that, and he just said, whoa, 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 what do you mean source? What was source? Put your name on it. Be a man. And then he came out from behind the podium, and he stood next to the podium and pointed like, be a man or a woman and put your name on it. Be the guy that said, and he took a Sharpie out of his pocket, and he fake wrote a newspaper article in the air with his hand, like how you would write one longhand, not type it. And he goes, be the guy that said, I was in the locker room with Coach Edwards, and the mood was this. And then he throws the Sharpie, and he points to like Mike Lupica or somebody, goes, you weren't in the locker room, man. Put your name on it. That's all awesome. I ask.
I like it.
So that's why it's in the opening credits of my podcast. Come out to Ontario tonight. Put your name on it.
Put your name on it. More Stories is the podcast available through iTunes, and the Ontario Improv is going to be tonight at 8 o'clock. Two shows Friday, two shows Saturday, one show Sunday. Don't miss it. OntarioImprov.com. Jay Morris, thanks for coming in, man.
I'm pregnant.
I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
Got a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup coming up. Also, Community Thursday continues with Danny Putty from TV's Community, and the great William Shatner joins us next. Hey, Ralph Garman.
Hey, what's up?
Is your little friend Jay Moore still here for the Showbiz Beat?
Yeah, he's here. He's here with his little puppy.
He's Jay Moore out. And Mabel joining Ralph for the Showbiz Beat on K-Rock. What's
Mabel's adorable.
I love this dog.
Mabel's like 47 years old. Looks like
I don't want to give her
Hi,
up.
Hi, Mabel.
Bobby Clark forgot Bobby Clark. The Dave Clark Fox.
See, Bean, what you realize, Bobby Clark was the captain of the Philadelphia Flyers back in the 70s when they won
and
their
your
Stanley
father,
Cups.
Apparently.
And he was, yes, he was my
Bobby
father.
Bobby Clark is Ralph Garman's biological father. That's
right. Congratulations.
Before he went to the foster home, Eric Lindros took him under his wings. And this is how you don't get hit, Ralph.
Yeah, poor Lindros.
When you hit the ground, make sure your head don't hit first. Put your hands out, Lindros.
Look at the game tape? Should we look,
at the game? You would have had five less concussions if you learned how to straighten your arm.
Should we put our name on it?
Put your name on it.
Yeah.
Be a man. Oh, woman. That's all I ask. All right, I don't want to step on Ralph's thing. This is my favorite part of the show. I want to listen to it.
All right.
I do a lot of favors for you, Ralph, don't I?
You do.
Yesterday was my birthday, Ralph. Thank you for calling.
Oh. Well, I wouldn't miss that. Come on. The puppy's running scared from
just
her
stay
owner.
With me.
The Jacksons have announced, after they wrap up their summer tour that no one wants to see, they're going to record an album no one wants to listen to.
Excellent.
Jackie told Billboard.com that Jermaine, Marlon, and Tito, and Jackie, are set to record their first album together since 1989.
Well, at least they've got all the good Jacksons on board.
Why did they think anyone cares?
I'm stunned that they think that they still have a career. Their tour kicks off June 18th in Louisville, by the way. Michael will be a big part of the show.
Hologram.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Mm-mm.
He's no longer with us. I'd rather take Michael.
Too much for Tito.
That's what they should call the album. I would rather put Michael in the studio now, the way he is, and have him record than have the other Jackson record. You get a better product, I'm sure.
It just sounds terrible.
Just want to put a microphone up and hear his bones creak. It would be better. Hey, did you hear a doctor claims he found a G-spot? This is unrelated to show business, but he said he found the G-spot.
A
retired gynecologist said he's been dissecting cadavers, and he found the G-spot. He found physical evidence of the G-spot. So, guys, we can't claim it's a myth anymore and tell women not to worry about it. You don't even need
an orgasm.
You don't need it. Forget about it. It's not important. Now, apparently, it's real, so... Now we got to do it. Hey, I almost forgot. I got tickets to give away to Marvel's The Avengers.
Yay!
We're having a special advanced screening of the movie on May 1st at the AMC Century City 15. It's in theaters everywhere on Friday, May the 4th. But if you are one of the first people to get through with the correct answer to my trivia question right now, 1-800-520-1067, you get to go to our advanced screening.
of the Avengers. Here's the trivia question. It's pretty simple. You should know this, even if you're just a casual fan. I need the name of Tony Stark slash Iron Man's personal secretary and sometimes girlfriend. 1-800-520-1067. Give me the name of Iron Man's girlfriend.
What if your name was Asshore?
It's not Asshore. I can tell you that much right now. I don't know a lot of things, but I do know that. Kanye West and porn star Kim Kardashian attended the Tribeca Film Festival Tuesday night. And according to onlookers, they wore matching outfits.
Oh, for God's sakes.
They are unacceptable now. Kim wore a black and white Chanel dress. Kanye wore a black and white Chanel suit.
No.
Both adorned with Egyptian Ankh symbols.
No.
Maybe they think they're reincarnated Pharaoh and Pharaohess.
Nine!
I'm glad to see what Hitler has to say about the Kardashian-Kanye West couple. And Oprah Winfrey may be the richest woman in television, but you know what else? She's rich in spirit. She's got a big heart. New York Post reports that she was having lunch with four executives in a big-time restaurant in New York City. And when she was walking in, a homeless man named Eddie asked for just a bowl of soup. Oprah made sure he was fed, had one of her underlings fork over some cash to Eddie, and sent him away with a sweet God bless you.
I'm so fat.
Then she had her team pick him up at a panel van and sold his organs for research.
I don't doubt that for a minute.
She made a lot of money off of Eddie.
Oprah.
Do we have an answer to my trivia question? I think Paul on line one may know the answer to this trivia question. Paul, what is the name of Tony Stark slash Iron Man's personal secretary, sometime girlfriend?
Pepper Potts.
Pepper Potts, indeed. Played by Gwyneth Paltrow in the movie The Avengers coming up. Hold on, you get a chance to see the movie before anybody else on May the 1st. We're going to give you all the details. Thanks, Paul.
All right, appreciate it.
All right, buddy. I'll tell you, I don't know what science fiction technology they use in these movies, but somehow they make Gwyneth Paltrow look good in all these superhero movies.
She's a very attractive woman.
She looks great in the Iron Man movies, and she looks great in the Avengers movie. Yeah. And then every other movie, she looks like her. I don't know what they do. I think it's CGI, like they did the Hulk. They turned Mark Ruffalo into the Hulk in this movie. They turned her into an attractive woman.
Did you see Shakespeare in Love? She's a pretty girl.
Special effects. Yeah, she was pretty 40 years ago when that movie came out, but what do you got going on lately? That's what I want to know. Flapjacks. Today's celebrity birthdays, actress, comedian Carol Burnett. She's 79. Actor Jet Li. He is 49 years old today. Kevin James. He was the King of Queens. He is soon to be heard in the new animated film from Adam Sandler, Hotel Transylvania.
Okay.
It's about all the monsters, Lisa, and they stay at a big hotel.
Maybe it'll be better if it's animated.
And Bigfoot clogs the toilet because he poops so much.
No, that's not a plot point.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that happens.
You've got to be joking.
Okay, no,
watch the trailer.
Funny.
Watch the trailer. Stop it,
no,
Lisa. Stop it. Stop it.
Little,
you're part of the problem.
A little funny.
Kevin James, if there's anyone funnier than Kevin James, I want names.
I got a list for you. He's 47 years old today. T-Boz of TLC is 42. Tom Welling, Smallville fame, is 35. Stana Katic. Stana Katic from Castle is 34 years old today. Are you watching this season, by the way, Castle?
No.
Oh, come on. It's so good.
So
this season has been ridiculously good. She's 34 years old today. Jordana Brewster is 32. And Channing Tatum from 21 Jump Street. We had him here on the show with Jonah Hill. What a nice guy. Mm-hmm. 32 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
I would not be mad at the band Muse if they decided to grace us with some new music sometime soon. Seems like it's been a while, right?
Yeah.
You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on the world famous K-Rock. Danny Putty from Community on the way. A brand new internet roundup as well. First, though, musician, author, talk show host, iconic commercial pitchman, philanthropist, director. What am I missing? Emmy-winning actor, world champion horse breeder and rider, and our personal friend, William Shatner. Ladies and gentlemen, joining us here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
What
Hi, Bill.
What a pleasure to electronically see you.
Bill, I know this is the most exciting weekend of the year for you. We're excited
well,
as
you
well.
Know that, it is.
The 22nd annual William Shatner Priceline.com Hollywood Charity Horse Show, sponsored by Wells Fargo. A lot of sponsors for a great cause. You are raising money, as you do for the kids, LA-based children's charities. And as I understand this year, you're also reaching out to some vets, helping them with their therapy. What's going on, Bill?
Well, I tell you, therapeutic riding is wonderful for children. Children who've never walked, kids who've never talked or find the ability to speak, the horse therapy really works on children and adults. Now we're finding that the returning vets who have injuries similar to these children, either physical, social, or emotional, that this therapeutic program works on veterans. So due to my wife, Elizabeth, we are involved with veterans as well as children. This charity is amplifying its ability to give, and we're begging your audience to go to horseshow.com and see whether you want to come to the show where Joe Walsh is playing, who's got a new record out coming out in June, Analog Man, and have a great dinner by Stonefire Grill. But Priceline.com and Wells Fargo are sponsoring us. We've got great stuff. Bombardier Airplane is giving us an auction item, and then it's a great show in itself. Tommy Turvey got a great comedy act, but in addition to coming to the show, the benefit your dollars will do is more than anything I can say.
This Charity Horse Show this year happens to be Saturday night at the Los Angeles Equestrian Center, which has been your home for many, many years, a fantastic venue over there in Burbank. And like you said, it's a full evening of entertainment with a meet and greet, a silent auction, arena show, the Western Dinner, Joe Walsh of the Eagles performing. What is it about horses, Bill, that helps these people? I'm not sure I understand how horse therapy works. What is it about spending time around those animals that makes people come out of their shell a little bit?
It's, first of all, for people who can't move, aren't ambulatory, suddenly they're in motion, and they either remember or for the first time feel the idea of motion. Then there's the power of the horse itself. It's a gigantic animal by comparison to man, and just the enormity and the solidity and the warmth and the comforting warmth of the animal. Then there's the control. I mean, you're telling the horse where to go. You have to focus on where the horse is going. It requires a mental acuity that they might not have due to heredity or accident.
Circumstance, yeah.
So you can see that this whole mystique about a horse appeals to human beings traditionally. It's been 10,000 years of horses and men, and somehow in our genetic structure is this thing about horses that makes people feel better than what they were before they got to the horse.
Hey, Bean, I worked with a group called Ahead with Horses, and you may know of them, William, and they worked with kids and horses, and they would do these shows, and you couldn't help but start crying. They would put kids who had never held their heads up onto horses, and suddenly they were sitting up straight, which they'd never done in their lives. It's unbelievable.
My first contact with Ahead with Horses, which is our major charity, was a thalidomide baby, a 6-year-old, no arms, one leg, mm-hmm. holding the reins with her toes, smiling.
Yeah, it melts you.
It's unbelievable. Again, the event is this Saturday night at the Los Angeles Equestrian Center, and it's just as simple as williamshatter.com or horseshow.com for all the information, right, Bill?
Exactly. Thank you, Bean.
No, I'm so excited. We're always happy to promote this event because we know you're one of those charities also that every penny goes to the charity. I mean, you guys really maximize your dollars.
Every dollar you give us, there's a very small group of people put this charity on. Nobody gets paid, and we're all doing volunteer work. And everybody who gives us something is volunteer. Joe Walsh is volunteering. Stonefire Grill is volunteering.
We get
everything we can for free. That which we have to pay for is underwritten so that every dollar goes directly to the people we're helping. And the list of people we help is on the website, horseshow.org. So it's not only a local benefit, but it's a national benefit as well.
Your chance to hang out with a legend in person this Saturday night. The great William Shatner will be there. The 22nd annual William Shatner Priceline.com charity horse show sponsored by Wells Fargo. Bill, we know you got to run to another interview, but thanks for the time. Good luck this weekend. Have fun, my friend.
Thank you so much, Rory. It's a delight to talk to you.
Thanks. You bet. Bye-bye. Bye. Did you see that Cinco de Mayo falls on May 5th this year? That's weird.
I did know that, actually.
Yeah. Well, we happen to be having the 20th annual KROQ Weenie Roastie Fiesta on that same day. It's a week from Saturday. We're giving away tickets every single hour all day long today, starting at 9 o'clock this morning. So in about 40 minutes from right now, your first chance to win for the day. After the pit tickets we gave away earlier this morning, of course. And then every hour on the top of the hour, you can win your tickets. Hey, Dave, the King of Mexico, how are you?
What up? What's Cinco de Mayo?
You're not Mexican enough for me to explain that to you. You ready for an all-new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup?
Yep.
Hit it, Chief.
Click that mouse and open your browser. Pull up your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Life so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
King of Mexico is the official curator of the Internet Roundup. How does this work, Dave? You can go to kevinandbean.com or krock.com and you can see the videos we're about to spotlight now. But don't you also archive every Internet Roundup video we've ever done?
Yeah, every single one. You just click at the bottom, at the end of the post. It says click here to see the complete year of the Roundup, and every single video is there.
There's no excuse to ever have to work again. You have all the time wasting at your fingertips you could
ever
want.
If you
want
to kill some time, there it is.
Well, the first video up today is the official anthem for 24-year-old people everywhere. Finally, somebody has written a rap song about what it's like to be 24, courtesy of our friends at Funny or Die. It's very good.
Traded the backpack for a briefcase at my job. I'm devoted. Get to work 10 minutes early because I'm trying to get promoted. Used to drink heavily. Now it's a rare occurrence. Doesn't matter if I stumble on my parents' insurance.
It just goes on and on and on like that with everything, what it's like to be 24 years old. Although, who's given up drinking heavily by 24? That seems a little young to me, to tell you the truth.
No one.
We've been talking about some of these viral videos that are they become viral. They become popular on the internet because they're horrible. The Hot Problems one is the most recent example, until 3-second rule came along. Now, 3-second rule, how old is this woman? Usually these are teenagers who just can't sing but want a YouTube video. How old do you think this woman is?
Late 40s, yeah. Poor girl. She thinks she's singing a good song, and no.
What makes her think that she's hot? That's what I don't understand. And this is also the first of these kind of crazy viral videos that's a country song. I mean, it has guys in cowboy hats line dancing, and her basic rule is, the 3-second rule is, that's how long you're allowed to look at her before then it starts to get creepy and you need to look away. Because she's so unbelievably hot, you know, you can't stop at looking at her. You got to check her out. But check out how awful this song is, and then please go to the Internet Roundup and see the whole video.
You can only look for 3 seconds, then let's go away.
What's happening there?
3 seconds.
I thought it was, she meant that if you were with her, you could look at other hot girls, but only for 3 seconds. Did I completely misunderstand the song?
Yeah, I think you're wrong on that one, Lisa. And what's the deal? Did she get so many hate comments that she took the video down?
Probably. She originally posted it on her own YouTube channel and then took it down. So
it's unbelievable. You have to check out this video.
It's so amazing.
It's 3 seconds.
A lot of line dancing, too. All right, one more song parody, this time fun, period, and their song that we play here on K-Rock called We Are Young, I guess. There's a new version on Yahoo called We're Not Young, and it talks about, just how tough it is to get old.
I know you're trying to forget. Depression and anxiety has come on strong since 33. Has made it hard not to crack. So if by the time I'm 40 and I'm still a waiter here, I'm killing myself tonight.
What's great about that is it sounds exactly like the fun
it's
song.
It's great.
They really did a nice job. All right. It's too bad that Kevin's not here today. He's out sick because this kid would drive him crazy. He is how old, Dave? 14?
14.
14 years old, he wants a job doing the trailers, the movie trailers. He wants to be the big voice guy for the movie trailers. Let's face it, at 14, what are the chances he has a voice good enough for film? Let's see.
I am 14 years old. I'm trying to become a voice actor, and this is my movie trailer guy impression. In a world where the Earth was no longer in our control...
Wow.
He's 14, kids.
And that's without any sort of digital...
No, yes. This is him on his laptop,
that
you know, on
is,
his Mac.
He could do it.
Yeah, and he has other videos of where he dubs himself doing, like, for Cabin in the Woods. Sounds identical, exactly like...
Dude, yeah. That's great.
Whoever the big voice guy is now, look out, man, because this guy's coming up on your heels. Apparently, this kid was on Ellen yesterday, and Ellen got him signed to an agency. So he is now in Hollywood. So let's see if we start seeing him turn up in the movie. I mean, if he's 14, his voice has already changed, I hope. It's not going to go changing again, right?
No, I don't think so.
This
no.
is it. Okay.
But, you know, he'll be out of the business by, like, 21 because he's going to be boozing it up and, you know.
Nick Offerman, who we just had on the Kevin and Bean show yesterday, he, of course, the great Ron Swanson on Parks and Recreation. He loves his woodworking, and he's got a video up that's very funny that shows him doing various woodworking tasks in his backyard, chopping trees and things like that. But in between, he stops to read tweets from some of his favorite young female celebrities on Twitter. I think this is from the Conan show. Check out Nick Offerman.
Selena Gomez tweeted, "About to have a crazy socks party." Miley Cyrus tweeted, "Can't stop eating walnuts."
I just think everything's funny in the Ron Swanson voice. Jimmy Fallon got a huge get this week on his late night show. The President of the United States showed up. They not only did an interview where he was the first person to get to interview Barack Obama about the Secret Service scandal, which made a little bit of news, but he also had the president come out on stage as they together slow jammed the news. Check it out.
So I've called on Congress to prevent this from happening.
Oh, yeah. You should listen to the president. Or as I like to call him, the Preezy of the United Steezy. Things were heating up inside Congress's chambers behind all those closed doors. So the president made a few discreet calls across the aisle. He said, "Hey, let's get together on this one."
President Obama with Jimmy Fallon and, of course, Jimmy's late-night band, The Roots, slow jamming news. Somewhere Mitt Romney is already trying to figure out a way to turn that into a campaign commercial for the general election. Look, the president's hanging out with black people. What are we going to do? We can't allow that. Bad lip reading. These guys do fantastic work. They take actual speeches by actual politicians, and then they overdub it. Their voices completely 100% match what it is that they're not saying. In this case, they chose Vice President Joe Biden. Listen up.
Look, listen, if it's not Harry, thank heavens it's not Harry. I forced 14 models into colabrision. Shadow lips are preserving the zipper, and don't ever stare at the place a man zips. They'll think you're offering a funky munch.
These are unbelievable videos, these bad lip reading people that they do, because it looks exactly like the person is really saying that. And finally, speaking of things that are said that are not really being said, our old friend Jimmy Kimmel Live. Once again, we close this edition of the Internet Roundup with This Week in Unnecessary Censorship.
This Week in Unnecessary Censorship.
President Obama and Mitt Romney are hard for the votes of women.
The alleged prostitute and Secret Service agent were in the hotel room.
After a dancing duel, it was time for a dancing
In the president's book, he admitted eating when he was growing up in Indonesia.
It is a race against time to a whale tangled in a fishnet.
It's another great batch. Nice job, King of Mexico. You can go to KevinAndBean.com or Internet Roundup. It's the brand new. Wait, you can go to KevinAndBean.com or KRock.com. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup. I got it.
Kevin and Bean, Internet Roundup.
That theme song can only mean that once again here on the Kevin and Bean Show, it is Community Thursday. If I'm doing my math correctly, Lisa May, I believe we are about to talk to our sixth cast member of the TV show Community.
Is that right?
Wow. I think we're up to number six. Thursday nights at 8 on NBC, another brand new episode tonight of Community. Danny Pudi joins us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He is, of course, Abed. Hey, Danny, how are you, man?
Good morning. How you guys doing?
We're good.
We're doing fine. I know, you know, when we talked to Yvette, your co-star Yvette, a couple of weeks ago, she's like, "Yeah, I thought you guys were dissing me. I thought you were never going to get around to me." But our goal is to eventually end up talking to everyone on Community. So today it's your turn.
Yay, I'm very happy and proud to be number six. I kind of feel like that's where I belong anyways.
Well, look, here's the thing. We're just trying to do our small part because television is in bad shape. And it seems like the shows that we fall in love with, the ones that are really like doing their best to kind of go outside the lines a little bit, are the ones that have the most trouble for whatever reason. And we're terrified that everything's going to end up being boring on TV. So when something comes along that we love, we try real hard. What are you hearing about Community? I knew we were getting pretty close to the pickup date. Anything new?
Nothing new, you know, and thank you guys for, I guess, championing our show. I kind of feel the same way. I'm almost troubled by the fact that we're still on the air. I'm used to shows that I really like as well being gone after 3 years. So, yeah, we're pretty lucky, but we haven't heard anything new yet. I think we came from hiatus, a couple months ago, and we're just excited that we're still, you know, putting episodes out there. And hopefully within the next week or two, we should find out, I guess, our fate for senior year of Greendale, but the fan support's been awesome, and we're hopeful that we got some good stuff coming up.
Tell me about you when you got started on Community. How tough was it for you to get this job? Were you a guy that came in and read for it, and they said instantly, he's our bet, or was it one of those deals where they had a lot of guys and you had to keep coming back over and over again?
It was both. I mean, this was hard. I mean, I remember when I first got the script, it was like an audition, like any other, and I got an email from my agent with the script and the size, and but he immediately knew. He was like, he read this. He's like, hey, here's your dream role. Good luck. And I was like, oh, crap. Here we go. and I read the script, and immediately I think I read the second half of the script standing up because I was like, I love this show. It's irreverent. It's funny. It's got some heart. This character is so peculiar that I'll watch this show. So that was kind of my testament. But I auditioned 5 times for it. I had to keep going in. And one of the final auditions, I actually had to audition with the real-life Abed. There's a person that the role was written.
What? There's a real Abed? Are you? Is he half robot, half human?
Well, I think he was inspired by the real Abed, you know. But he told me in the room, we're sitting there ready to audition for the network executive. And he's like, hey, I'm Abed. And I'm like, yeah, me too. And he's like, no, I'm really Abed. And I was like, oh, crap, here we go. Okay, so I lost this one.
Are you kidding me? Wait, so you're telling me that Dan Harmon, the creator, uh-huh. he knew a guy named Abed and wrote a character that you play on TV that's kind of just like the real dude?
I wouldn't say just like, but inspired by, yeah. But yes. Yeah.
Is he the same as your character who is just an insane encyclopedic knowledge of pop culture?
I don't know. You know, I don't know him that well, but I know that we're completely different people. Like, I could tell right away in meeting Abed that we're very different. So I think we bring a different approach to the character. And so some of it has definitely been incorporated, and I think taking in some of my quirks. For instance, I'm half Polish, and now Abed is half Polish and half Palestinian, which I think makes more sense. it's elements of my personality definitely now reflected into Abed as well as vice versa. So, but yeah, I mean, all this stuff comes from Dan Harmon and his life and his experience and his really brilliant writing, which is what I love about the show. And I think it's really cool to have a show on television that has such great, you know, surprising writing.
Are you playing Abed as autistic? Is that what he's got going on?
No, I don't play it in any way, really. I mean, to me, I kind of approach everything the same way. I read it, and I usually laugh. And once I'm done laughing with the script, I kind of just think about, you know, how I see everything. And so for Abed, it's fun because I get to look at the world very different. I don't have to necessarily follow all the social, social etiquette and social rules that a lot of people are confined by. So for me, it's fun. You know, I get to do stuff where I make eye contact for way too long, or I don't thank people. Or I guess sometimes I get to act like a bird. You know, it's stuff like that if I did with my wife, she'd be very angry. But it's fun for me to kind of like look at stuff and be like, oh, this is just a cool way of experiencing the world.
I'm going to start using that, Lisa. I like that I don't have the social constraints that everybody else is forced to be hemmed in by. You know what I mean?
Make it look like it's
their problem, not mine. I like that.
It's a different rule set, yeah.
Let me play a clip from the show, and you're going to love this, especially if you have never seen Community. This is exactly what we're talking about with Danny's character, Abed. This is a scene with the beautiful Alison Brie, who we love so much, and your character is a little mad at hers for trying to do a little matchmaking.
I'm mad at you because you tampered with the fabric of the group. How do you know Troy and Brett are pairing up wouldn't destroy everything? I run the scenarios. I examine this stuff from every conceivable angle.
Oh, and you can do that, but I can't? You don't have a patent on being a control freak, Abed.
I kind of do. You think this is just a room where Troy and I play dinosaurs versus riverboat gamblers together? Sure, that's how I got the construction approved. But much like myself, the Dreamatorium has higher functions.
Okay, two things about that clip, Danny. One is your dialogue. You must have to there's no room for ad-libbing as fast-paced as the Abed dialogue is. You got to know it down cold.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a challenge for me, but it's also super exciting. I mean, this is part of the fun of playing a character who you know is way more intelligent than you. And so I have to make it look like I really do know everything about dinosaurs versus riverboat gamblers, and not just laugh about it. You know,
right.
So that's the fun thing for me is like all of a sudden getting these scripts and reading this material that is so rich, but it's so specific. And then forcing myself in 2 to 3 days to become an expert at it. So,
and the other thing that you'll notice in that clip is, for folks who haven't seen the show, is the Dreamatorium the craziest thing on primetime television right now? Like, everything goes when you and Troy go into that little room. I mean, it just, you must look at those scripts and think, somebody's insane that's writing this.
It is really crazy. And it's fun trying to explain to my mom, who's from Poland, and it's trying to explain the Dreamatorium in any language is equally confusing. Whether it's English or Polish, it doesn't really matter. But at the same time, I'm like, I'm an adult. And I mean, my job for the last few weeks has been spent in pajamas building pillow forts. And also doing imaginary sequences in a Dreamatorium. And to me, it's just incredible that I'm still shocked that we're still on the air.
Yeah, it's so crazy. All right, last question for you. And again, this is the voice of Danny Pudi. We're talking to him. He is abed on NBC's Community, which airs with another new episode tonight at 8 o'clock. Is there a lot of pressure when you're a cast member of Community, when Donald Glover's got the big rap career and Alison Brie is on Mad Men and Joel McHale does The Soup and, you know, the Dean goes off and wins an Oscar? Don't you feel like it's not enough to be on that show? Like, you need a part-time job just to hang with those people?
Yeah, it really is. It's exhausting. Every week I look at what everybody's up to and I'm like, oh, I got to be doing something. So what I did is I had babies. That was my contribution to the group. But we had twins like 3 months ago, and I think that was my contribution. But for us, it's really kind of cool, too, because it's like we're a family, and so we all celebrate each other's successes. And I think we all have the combined attention span of maybe one person. So it's nice to see everyone succeeding in all these different ways.
It's an unbelievably talented cast. I mean, you know, that just goes to speak to with all this other stuff that they have going on. It's just amazing you're all on one show. But Thursday night at 8 on NBC, another new episode tonight. We got our fingers crossed, man. We hope you guys get some good news about our next season very, very soon. I'm so happy you were able to join us on the Kevin and Bean Show today.
Thank you guys so much. I'm happy to be number 6. Appreciate the support.
Okay. Bye. I know what you're thinking. The heavy lifting must be done on today's Kevin and Bean Show. The guys are just going to coast for the rest of the show.
Yep.
Not this time. Dr. Drew Pinsky joins us right after the top of the hour. We're going to talk to the good doctor.
Me too. I'm coasting.
Talk to him about the feeding tube diet.
Nope.
Talk to him about how he can get me some LSD so I can try that.
Okay, I'm back in.
Got that going on?
You're getting that at Weenie Roast, we told you.
And then Anze Kopitar is going to be joining us after that as well. Oh. The Center for Your Los Angeles Kings. Round two. Why? Why do you feel bad for Kopitar?
Because I just feel bad. We should ask him, how is it going to feel to lose to the Philadelphia Flyers when they win the cup?
I don't think we're at that point in the playoffs yet. I think we're just looking at round two so far. Anyway.
It's going to be sad.
Action-packed half hour. And, of course, in about 10 minutes or so or less, we're chance at tickets for the K-Rock Weenie Roast. Yes, right now, it's time for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph.
Here's me giving away tickets to the advanced screening of Marvel's The Avengers.
Yay!
Happens on May the 1st at the AMC Century City 15. It's in theaters everywhere May the 4th, so you can check that out. Isn't that Star Wars Day?
It sure is.
May the 4th be with you.
Yep.
Yeah.
I see.
You can see.
Don't be so dismissive, Lisa.
I'm sorry. That's just stupid. It's really stupid.
It's May the 4th. How dare you, woman?
It's May the 4th.
Stupid.
Chicks don't get it, man.
Marvel's, nerds are my mortal enemy.
Marvel's The Avengers is going to have the advanced screening on May the 1st at the AMC Century City 15. I'd like to give it to a real Avengers fan, however, so I've been asking trivia questions every hour.
We got a winner!
I haven't even asked it yet.
Oh, Nelly.
If you know the answer to this trivia question, call 1-800-520-1067. And if you're first caller through with the right answer, you get a pair of passes to the advanced screening. Here's your question. Of course, you know Thor's hammer is his weapon.
Penis. Oh, weapon.
No, it's his Thor's hammer is his weapon that he uses from Asgard. Of course, he is the god of thunder.
Of course.
Only he can wield it. If he drops it on the floor here and you go try to pick it up and use it, you can't use
it. Can't do it.
It's just for him.
Oh, really? Is that true?
Yeah. But
so you can't steal the hammer from him and get his powers.
Exactly. You can't use the hammer against him because only Thor can pick it up. But there is one other person in the Avengers who also, it's been found, can wield the hammer. And Thor refers to him often as his hammer brother.
Is it MC Hammer?
That's so stupid.
Stop it, Lisa. I'm gonna turn the show
around.
My hammer
has like a fingerprint lock on it.
It does. But it has a like genetic code. It's just for Thor, except for this other guy who can also use the hammer.
Does he have the same genetic code?
What other Avenger can use the hammer? Call now 1-800-520-1067 if you know the answer.
Well, guess what? It's hammer time.
I like how Lisa scoffs. She's been very
I'll
scoffy.
I'll still go to the movie.
She's been very scoffy lately.
She has been awfully scoffy.
Olivia Wilde has taken her new relationship public with Jason Sudeikis from Saturday Night Live.
Oh, come on.
Score,
with the come
score,
on.
Score. It's Jason.
All he does is have sex with smoking hot actresses. Yep. What is it about Jason Sudeikis?
We got to find out.
He's a good, he's a good-looking, funny celebrity, but the level of trim that he's pulling is insane.
Olivia Wilde, January Jones,
right.
Another on his list of conquests. Us Weekly Magazine has a picture of the couple making out in New York City, so they seem to be very happy.
Oh my God, is it really that big?
Maybe that's it.
Congratulations
to Beyonce Knowles, who was named by People Magazine as the most beautiful woman in the world. She says she feels more beautiful than ever since she gave birth to Blue Ivy. Now look, if Blue Ivy actually came out of your vagina, if Ivy came out of your vagina and was blue, then I would say you're special. But just because you had a baby and you called it Blue Ivy doesn't make you particularly interesting. She said the word love now means something completely different because she has purpose on this earth. Yes, she had a baby, and now the skies have split open. And
but it's hard
now
to
she
have
can
a
wield
baby.
Thor's hammer. I've heard since she had a baby, she's so special now.
Babies come out of a butt, right?
No, that's not true.
It's very difficult to have a baby. You know that, Ralph.
It's very unique.
It's only a select few people are really able to have that power.
Yeah, she is. She's gifted. And while we're talking about people with an overblown sense of self, porn star Kim Kardashian and Kanye West. We're at the Tribeca Film Festival dinner this Tuesday night in New York City, and according to onlookers, they wore matching outfits.
Isn't that cute?
No. Matching outfits are for little baby twins and for sad old people.
Right.
In Boca Raton.
If you go to Disneyland, you always see old people who dress alike.
Yes.
Always.
That's
or
it.
It's for sad, lonely women and their dogs. Well, my wife and I were on vacation in the Caribbean, and we were in St. Bart's, and we saw a rich old woman who was wearing a bikini that she had no business wearing.
Oh.
And her poodle had on a matching bikini. And I said, that is tragic. And I murdered them both.
No!
I can get away with it because it was the Caribbean.
You can do everything.
Yeah, it's no extradition.
That can never happen!
Kanye and Kim were wearing matching outfits. She was wearing a black and white Chanel dress. He was wearing a black and white Chanel suit. Both were adorned with Egyptian Ankh symbols, the symbol of life, of course, the Egyptian symbol of life. So I hope that symbol is not representative of what's going to happen to them.
Is it that they both have fashion minds or they feel like they need to coordinate their outfits before they walk out the door now? Is that what's happening?
Why can't they both just dress up and look nice? Why do they have
right.
to
match? That's what other people do.
Yeah. I think Todd on line one may have the answer to my trivia question. Todd, I need to know, who is Thor's hammer brother?
It would be Captain America.
Captain America, that's right. Captain America.
What are the chances?
Cap can also wield Thor's hammer.
Yeah.
Mjolnir. Hold on, Todd. We're going to give you a little details. You're going to see the Avengers on May the 1st.
That's awesome. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, brother.
I hate to ask this question, Ralph.
Yes.
But why is Captain America his only other hammer brother? What's special about him?
Because
that
Captain America is a uniquely augmented human being and is pure of heart.
So there's no one else on Earth?
No.
Are the Avengers based on Earth, by the way?
Yes. They're,
I didn't know.
They're Earth's mightiest heroes.
Okay,
it's in the name.
I don't know very much about the Avengers.
Don't
it's been on the cover of every comic book the Avengers had since 1963. The Avengers, Earth's mightiest heroes.
I didn't know if they were based on some other planet. I have no
idea.
Tony
Stark even says in the movie, maybe you've heard of us, Earth's mightiest heroes.
I need to open up a blog, apparently.
Open up a blog.
All right.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Carol Burnett is 79 years old today. Jet Li, 49. Kevin James is 47. T-Boz of TLC is 42. Tom Welling, speaking of superheroes, he was Superman on Smallville for all those years. Well, Clark Kent, at least. 35. Stana Katic. Boy, where was People Magazine when they were handing out the World's Most Beautiful People awards?
Yeah.
They were too busy putting Miranda Lambert in their top 10.
Yeah, instead of Stana Gatic. Star, of course, of Castle, which has been so good this season. She is 34 years old today. Jordana Brewster from Fast and Furious is 32. And Channing Tatum, our buddy from 21 Jump Street and G.I. Joe, upcoming Retaliation, he is 32. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Congratulations, Debbie Anoye from Simi Valley. Just won tickets for the Weenie Roast. 20th annual K-Rock Weenie Roast E-Fiesta is sold out a week from Saturday. We got tickets for you all day long today, every single hour. So your chance to win coming up again in about 50 minutes or so. Get all the details at KRock.com. Lisa, it's been a couple weeks since we had a house call. Dr. Drew back on the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you, Doc?
Hi, yeah, Dr. Drew.
Hey, Lisa. How are you?
Good.
We missed you, man. We've had a couple of stories that have come our way that we were dying to get your take on. So you mind if I run them by you?
Please do. And by the way, last week I was there, just your phones didn't work.
I know.
Oh, we know.
Dude, we've had, when we came in this morning, Dr. Drew, none of the phones worked. We had to completely reboot. I mean, we've had nothing but trouble. We apologize for that.
K-Rock technology. It's awesome.
I know. We wasted your time. But a couple of things. First of all, we ran a news story about a hot new trend in Florida. There is a doctor who is doing feeding tube diets for brides who are trying to lose a lot of weight before their big day.
That's a good idea, right?
You lose 20 pounds in 10 days and you're never hungry. You literally walk around just like you're in the hospital in a coma. You literally walk around with a tube in your nose that gives you everything you need to live.
That's right. And the never hungry part is sort of its selling point. It's that you're going to get, you know, sort of the necessary nutrients and a very profoundly calorie-restricted diet. And because there's a continuous infusion, you're never hungry. A, I'm skeptical about the never hungry part. And B, it certainly is not a healthy thing to do.
We urged our listeners to go ahead and do it, Doctor.
I mean, there's a lot of things you urge your listeners to do. I've no doubt there'll be other topics today that you urge your listeners to do that I'll disagree with. But it certainly, no one can argue that it's not healthy. But it's actually something that's been done in Europe for a little while. It has some foundation in science. It's not like it's completely irrational. It's just, listen, when it comes to dieting, it's never going to be, what's never going to be improved upon is eating less calories, keeping a balanced diet, fruit and vegetables, and exercise. When you take shortcuts, you're going to be doing things that are unhealthy for yourself. So come on.
But really, 10 days of unhealthy. That's not terrible.
Lisa, go. Bean, get Lisa to do it.
I don't want to. It's not a good look, to be honest.
You don't like the little tube curled out?
Not really, no.
Out of your nose and curled up on the side of your cheek? You don't
no.
think that, as you prepare for your wedding, your husband's not going to be turned on by
no,
that?
No, but I was just thinking of the not healthy aspect. Is like people eat crap their whole lives. So 10 days of this is not the worst thing you could ever do.
Well,
it's stupid, but...
Well, at least you notice I'm not coming down on it really hard. I'm saying, you know, it has some foundation. It's not completely irrational, and it's just kind of bizarre. Aren't there, you know, are you really resorting to this? I almost feel as though anyone who would agree to this needs a psychological evaluation just to be sure there's not something else going on.
Well, that's a good point.
And by the way, we should also add, you've got this tube in your nose, but you're also walking around and on your shoulder, you're carrying a pouch that has this substance in it. I mean, you literally are carrying your food around in a bag for those 10 days. But look, people do anything to lose 20 pounds to look good in a wedding photo,
right,
I guess,
Lisa,
right?
Said it's a good look with that, you know, holding that bag and that IV pole with the tube coming out of your nose.
Honey, I'm so glad you want to marry me.
All right. Thing number two. Dr. Drew, I know you watch a lot of crazy TV. I follow you on Twitter, but are you watching Mad Men at all this season?
Religiously.
Okay. What about the scene, and of course the show's in 1967 now, what about the scene where Roger Sterling takes his trophy wife Jane and they go to a party that we later find out is thrown by Jane's analyst, basically, her psychotherapist or whatever, and they decide they're all going to drop acid. They pass around a little tray with little cubes on it and everybody does acid and everybody has a completely different experience. Tell me about the real life acid trip, Dr. Drew.
Well, I mean, that's sort of the way it works. It's very unpredictable. It's very protean. It's not even completely understood exactly what's going on in the brain. I will tell you the one chronic concern I have about hallucinogens generally is that whenever I've seen patients that have done even a modest amount of any class of hallucinogen, they are not the same person. There clearly is some sort of neurotoxic effect of hallucinogenics. But by the same token, you're going to be deluged with callers who say, oh, no, I had such insights. I've never been the same since. It's been wonderful. Yeah, you may have had, again, brain changes. That's why things are different. Your brain is different, that have somehow enhanced your view of the world or your perceptions. Again, that might be your subjective experience of it. In reality, maybe objectively not. But I'm not going to argue with that. The point is it causes changes, and those changes are difficult to predict and protean.
We had the entire gamut of the human experience with the LSD callers and emails that we took. Everything from, I did it 150 times and it was fantastic and I had the best sex I've ever had and now I'm completely normal and happy and I got a great job and a great family and I'm glad it's behind me, but I'm glad I did it. To, hey, I had a friend who murdered his entire family on acid. Don't do it. Yeah. I mean it's completely unpredictable.
Completely unpredictable. And but again, the only consistent thing I've seen with that entire class is you're causing permanent brain change. And boy, that is something very scary to me. It may be a slightly positive adjustment of some type, but then again, the one thing I've seen that is absolutely reproducible is later on, whatever chemicals are enhanced or changed, there seems to be a depression that comes later that's really quite serious. I've seen that over and over and over again.
Is LSD, I mean, you take so many calls from people trying everything, including drinking hand sanitizer on Loveline these days, but are people still doing LSD, Doctor?
Oh, sure. Oh, of course. All the hallucinogens, I think mushrooms, and listen, there's lots of people. The crazy thing about hallucinogens, I can't understand how people discovered them. I mean, licking the eye juice of a Sonoran frog would give you a very heavy root. That's how far humans will go to alter their mind. Who thought of that?
That's such a good question.
It's so crazy. Who were people that first thought to do these things? But be that as it may, that class is still quite popular, and people will always alter. The one thing that people should be aware is that it's a class of drugs that does not seem to be addictive, though people sometimes will do a lot of it.
Right.
It's not actually addictive. The MDMA may be, though it kicks people's butts so thoroughly that no one seems to stay with it that long.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So recapping for those just joining us, Dr. Drew approves of the feeding tube diet. He says absolutely that's healthy.
Absolutely
healthy. Do
Lisa, do that.
Okay.
That's my first
if
thing.
I have to
and
choose.
Then, wait, hang on. B, I want Bean to do acid. I'm trying to encourage that. But Lisa, Dave, who knows what you're going to get on the other side of that. I'm just saying. Isn't it unpredictable enough with what you're dealing with today?
Yeah, that is such a good point, Dr. Drew.
Loveline airs Sunday through Thursday nights at 10 on the good old world-famous K-Rock. Don't miss Dr. Drew weeknights at 9 on HLN, or 6 if you've got the DirecTV. It's a great show. Dr. Drew, thanks for your time, my friend. Great to catch up with you. Ralph's got the showbiz beat and more tickets to Marvel's The Avengers coming up in minutes here on The Kevin and Bean Show. It is hockey playoff time, and this year, your Los Angeles Kings are in it. Heading to St. Louis today. Game 1 of Round 2 happens on Saturday against the Blues. Anze Kopitar on the phone with us on The Kevin and Bean Show right now. How are you, Anze?
Good. How are you guys?
Good.
What time you guys leave today?
Noon.
Wow, we're cutting closer. All right, we'll talk real fast. Hey, before we get into the playoffs, I saw your Twitter photos last night from the ballpark. How fun is it for you to go to a baseball game and go, I mean, it must be weird as an athlete to watch other professional athletes and think about the differences between their job and yours. You think you would have enjoyed their game?
I think so. I think it's it's a great game. Obviously, the season is a bit long, but, I think it's a fun game, and sometimes it's maybe a little bit boring to watch if, there's no hits or whatever. But as of right now, for me, I'm gonna stick to hockey and just do my job.
It is weird, though. I mean, even you have to look at a guy like Matt Kemp and go, how does he do that? How does he hit that ball that hard, that far, that often? I mean, it's a special skill. All you guys, I mean, I think you just see things differently than us regular people do. Your brains and your eyes just work better than ours, I think.
Oh, that was unbelievable. The way you crushed it last night, it was, I mean, I got the chance to see it live, obviously, and, I was down. I had a really good seats, and, just from seeing how fast that pitch comes and the way he makes contact, it's unbelievable. And then you can just see it flying. I think the first second it's gone.
Yeah, well, it's just fun to see you supporting the other, other athletes in town. So let's turn our attention to hockey now. Look, the Kings were good enough to make the playoffs, but I don't think you'd find too many people betting on them to take out Vancouver in the first round. That was a pretty impressive set of games, my friend.
I don't think a lot of people, gave us a chance, but, the most important thing is what we feel in the locker room and, what I think. And, we were comfortable going in it, and we knew we could do some damage, and, we definitely did that. It was a hard series. It wasn't as easy as it may seem, but, we're definitely happy that we advanced.
Well, what's great, and we always talk about this in professional sports, is, you know, a team has to get hot at the right time. They have to peak when it matters. And it seems like right now you've got so many guys. I mean, obviously, Dustin, you know, was such an amazing contributor in that game. But, you know, you had a goal, and I know Brad came through. And it just seems like everybody's, like, really doing their part. And I guess that's part of the playoffs, is you just – you bring everything up a notch because you have to. And you know the other guys are doing the same thing, right?
Yeah, I mean, well, if we go back a little bit, you know, last 20 games of the season, we were outside looking in, and we had to get hot, and, you know, I think that was a stretch when we needed to go 14-6, and, you know, we made that happen, and we knew at that time if, you know, if we can get hot at that time and then carry over that to the playoffs, you know, it's obviously a good timing, and, you know, maybe we caught Vancouver on their heels a little bit, and the way we jumped on them, and you know, that's the way hockey is. I mean, like you said, you have to have the timing when to get hot, and, you know, it worked really well for us.
I can't help but notice, and this is the beautiful thing about parity in sports, is that the last two Stanley Cup winners, if I'm doing my math right, Boston and Chicago, they're already both out of it in round one. I mean, it's anybody's game once the playoffs begin, it seems like.
Yeah, I mean, you know, even if you look in the East, I mean – you know, Washington beat Boston, obviously. Game 7 tonight between Ottawa and Rangers, that can go either way. You know, so it's really not that big of a difference between 1 and 8 seed, obviously. And, you know, as long as you go in and, you know, the page turns and you have to write your own destiny, I guess.
Exactly, yeah. Now, St. Louis is a different ball game than playing against Vancouver. I mean, they're a team a lot of people are saying are very Kings-like in terms of, you know, being a real defensive team with great goalies and stuff like that. How much you've given them a lot of thought? I won't ask for any secrets here, but sum the St. Louis club up for me.
Well, I mean, they do play solid defense, and everybody knew that when, you know, they changed their coach. Hitchcock is... you know, maybe a little more of a defensive coach, but you know what? They have a lot of firepower up front that they can score goals to. So we have to be, you know, we have to be careful in all areas, obviously. And I think the most important thing is just focusing on what we do in our game. And I think if we do that, we should be in good shape.
I know you're having a lot more fun this playoff season than you did last year when you were out hurt. That just had to kill you to get that far into the season and not be around for the end.
Yeah, it was not fun at all. I mean, playoff hockey is, you know, it's the time that you want to be playing and not watching. So last year was a bit of a bummer, but you know what? I think it made me a little stronger, and I'm enjoying it that much more this year.
When you were growing up in Europe, what is the dream when you are a young hockey player? I mean, over here in, you know, North America, kids grow up and their dream at night, the poster they have on the wall is holding the cup above their heads. What is it what's the goal when you're a European player?
I think it makes a difference if you're, you know, let's say from Sweden or Finland and, you know, with a lot of hockey tradition and, you know, the difference coming from Slovenia, I don't know if that's realistic right off the hop to have that dream to play in the NHL and win the Stanley Cup. But, you know, once the things unravel, I guess, you know, when I did go to Sweden after that, you know, you almost start believing that you can do it. And then, you know, the draft came and everything. And then, you know, you're in talkings and the teams are looking at you. And, you know, that's where... you know, it kind of hits you that you can't do it, and that you have to obviously perform to your potential. And you know, being from Slovenia, it's really nice to you know, to make it.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, this is the voice of Anze Kopitar here on the Kevin DeBede Show from the Los Angeles Kings. Who we are the last thing he's doing before he starts packing, heading to the airport, heading off to St. Louis to play against the Blues. Beer Mug, who works here on the show, huge hockey fan, been following you for a long time. Beer Mug, I know you had a couple questions for Anze.
Yeah, Anze, how was it after Brown laid that hit on Sedin in Game 3 against the Canucks? How was it tying it up with Burrows? Because you're not normally a guy who goes out there and fights.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I'm not the guy that is going to go out on the ice and look for it. But, you know, when it comes down to protecting your teammates, I'm sure everybody else in that locker room would do the same thing. So, you know, again, it's not a must, but, you know, you protect your players and, you know, they protect you.
Well, that was good because I think most of the Kings hate Burroughs. So thank you for that.
Yeah, you were throwing punches for the fans at home for that one, Anze. All right, so game one is going to be on Saturday. Do we know what time yet? Have they released the schedule yet? Do you know it?
I don't know it yet. No, it's to be decided, I guess.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's so much juggling going on. I mean, think about back home. I mean, imagine what the schedule's going to be like at Staples Center, though, with the NBA playoffs, with both teams, plus with the Kings trying to get in there, too. I mean, I guess they're just going to have to play them when they can get them on the schedule.
I think so. And, you know, if I remember that right, I think it's the first time that all three teams made it since Staples Center opened, too. So it's going to be a little challenging for, you know, whoever puts together a schedule. But, you know, we'll be ready whenever.
Well, it's great that you made the playoffs. I know it was a little bit tense, as you said, and that you had to really step it up in the remain, you know, the final weeks of the season here. And now you've advanced past round one. You're into round two, and we're, you know, getting close enough to taste it. You know, Kevin and I were lucky enough to be in Canada to go to Montreal to see the Kings in person the last time they were in the Cup all those years ago. And that's been almost 20 years now. So a lot of people rooting for you, Anze. We're very, very excited about round two starting on Saturday, man. We got our fingers crossed and wish you nothing but the best, my friend.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Thanks for coming on. Bye-bye now. 6.7 KROQ. Final look at the Showbiz Beat with Ralph Garman and a very special guest joining us in studio. What's going on, Ralph?
Yes, my daughter Olivia has joined me for the final Showbiz.
Hi, Olivia.
Say hi. Say hi, honey.
She's so pretty. Hi.
Hi.
She's all bejeweled today.
She's got a lot of jewelry on. She's playing with the microphone. Mom had to run an errand, so I got babysitting duty, so I'm doing
That's
the last
show biz
together. That is a big cookie.
Nice.
Is that a good cookie?
Yeah.
Yeah?
She sounds adorable, but when I tell you she's 17 years old, you won't be impressed.
What does Dada like to watch? Dada watch what?
Dada watch hockey.
Hockey, that's right. Yeah. All right, let's get into the showbiz news.
Should have had Olivia ask Anze Kopitar a question.
I should have.
Yeah. Nice.
I've got tickets to give away to the advanced screening of Marvel's The Avengers on May 1st at the AMC Century City. Honey, let's not play with the microphone. Yeah, it's in theaters everywhere on May the 4th, but you can go if you're the lucky winner and answerer of my trivia question, which is the Civil War, the comic book The Civil War, dealt with Captain America versus Iron Man. They were battling over a law in the United States that said all superheroes had to expose their true identity. What was the name of the law? What was the name of the law? True Avenger fans would know the answer to this one. 1-800-520-1067.
Was it Harry's?
It was not Harry's law.
Oh.
You want to push a button? Okay. Here. Come here. Push this button. Push this one right there. Push that. There we go. Good girl.
Nice job, Olivia.
More showbiz news. Kim Kardashian and Kanye West now wearing matching costumes. They were at the Tribeca Film Festival at dinner on Tuesday night, and they were wearing matching outfits made by Chanel, a black and white dress and a black and white suit. Honey, don't move my papers. Daddy's going to read this. With Egyptian Ankh symbols on them. People said they looked adorable in their matching outfits.
Oh, I'm sure they were just cute as hell.
Maybe Livy and I should wear matching outfits.
No.
Push this button right here, honey. Good job. Bobby Brown pled no contest to driving drunk this week. He was sentenced last month in Los Angeles and arrested last month and sentenced to 3 years of informal probation and a 90-day alcohol education course, which I'm sure, knowing Bobby, that will take effect and he will have no more problems.
Of course.
Now, informal probation, does that mean it's his prerogative whether to show up or not?
Oh, man.
File,
please. Can you say file, Olivia? Can you say file? Thank you. Yeah. It goes in the file. Oprah Winfrey, she is a sweetheart. She was seen in New York helping a homeless man named Eddie this week. He saw her going into lunch with some executives for a TV series and asked for a bowl of soup. Well, Oprah made sure that he was fed, gave one of her underlings the orders to give him some cash, and sent Eddie away with a sweet God bless you. She banged him in the back of her limo, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's a nice bonus.
She's a giver.
Have we taught Olivia yet that Oprah is Satan, that she's the devil, that she's a bad, bad woman?
Yes, we have. Is Oprah bad, honey? Is Oprah bad?
Oprah bad.
That's right. Oprah bad.
I love this.
And Al Pacino has an owie, apparently on the set of Stand Up Guys. He got hurt while filming a gunfight scene. and got a little gunpowder in his eye while they were shooting some blanks. Medics washed out his eye on the set. Word is he's in a lot of pain, but it's expected to recover fully, unlike this microphone after my daughter gets done manhandling it. All right, let's cut to the chase. We have a winner on my trivia question, line number four.
What are the chances? It's Quint. We were just talking about Quint earlier.
No, that was Clint. Clint Barton is Hawkeye. Quint, that's a man's
name. The Quint plane, right?
The Quint jet. That's right, the Quint jet. Hey, Quint.
Hey.
What's the answer to my trivia question? That's the name of the law that said that all superheroes had to divulge their secret identities to the government.
It's the Superhuman Registration Act.
Superhuman Registration Act, absolutely. Congratulations, Quint. Hold on, we're going to give you the details. You're going to see the Avengers on May 1st, mere days before everyone else.
Woohoo!
Thanks so much. My daughter's enjoying my sound effect machine over here.
Okay. Gotta get one for home.
You're playing a keyboard cat? You're playing me off with the keyboard cat? Let's get to celebrity birthdays. Carol Burnett is 79 years old today. Actor Jet Li turns 49. Kevin James, King of Queens, is 47 years old. T-Boz turns 42 years old. Tom Welling from Smallville's 35. Stana Katic from Castle. Honey, would you like to have Stana Katic as your new mama? Yeah? Okay, good. She's 34 years old. Jordana Brewster is 32. It's hard to wrestle a two-year-old and read the news. Channing Tatum from Jump Street and from G.I. Joe, the upcoming film Retaliation, is 32 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. You're Olivia Garman, and we walk the showbiz beat, right? Yeah?
Say yeah.
Put the microphone out of the way.
Love
she's
that
not
mic.
All right. Thank you, Ralph. And thank you, Olivia. We got a great Kevin and Bean show planned for you tomorrow. Don't judge tomorrow on what you heard and didn't like today, because tomorrow we're bringing it.
Yeah.
The beautiful Alison Brie is coming on back. How about that? From her new film, 5-Year Engagement. Yeah, you're a fan of hers, right, Olivia?
Yeah, she loves her.
Also, actor Adam Goldberg, one of our favorites, is on talking about his new show. We got tickets in the pit for the Weenie Roast. Ralph's got the movie beat because it's Friday. How about this? Dexter and Noodles from a little band called The Offspring are going to be joining us. We're going to be world premiering their brand new song tomorrow in the 7 o'clock hour. It is called Days Go By. In the 7 o'clock hour tomorrow, brand new Offspring. Plus, we're going to talk about people, and maybe there are some of them in this room who have portraits of their pets hanging in their home.
Oh, stop.
Maybe there's one or two people in this room.
Maybe two of the three of us involved in this conversation have that.
Oh, Lord.
That's all tomorrow right here on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock.
Say bye-bye, honey. Say bye.
Bye-bye.